Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Global Fact Radio. Global Fact Radio brings you such shows as Conscious Living, How To with Dean Clifford, and Truth Talk. Don't you know that you can count me out? Don't you know it's gonna be alright? Alright. Alright. Today, featuring How To with Dean Clifford.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode 11 of How To with Dean Clifford. This is Tony Boutros, your host. And I'm joined today, or I'm supposed to be joined today, with a co-host, Del Sharp. Del's going to be assisting me today, since the job of moderating the chat room, getting the questions to Dean, and doing everything all by myself is becoming a little bit overwhelming. This show is going so fast,
yes,
you can barely keep up with it. The topic for today's show, as you all know, is how to deal with the police. And I posted up on the Global Fact YouTube channel Dean's 12-minute clip of his dialogue with the RCMP. And I asked you guys to listen to it. And then we're going to pick it apart and ask Dean questions about it and so on. But before we do that, as usual, we're going to go through our regular announcements. So if you wish to ask Dean questions on the air, please do so by dialing in at 646-478-5728. And remember that questions that are by callers, they do take priority over questions that come in via email, the Global Fact fan page, or the chat room. Questions that you want to post on the chat room can be done, but you must be signed in. And the best way to do that is to sign in using either your Facebook or your Twitter account. And that way it would also help us, because it gives us more exposure on these social medias. Please post your questions in red bold text. That will help me and Dell to distinguish between the regular chat and the questions. But only use the red bold text for questions only. I'd appreciate that. Thank you. Now, I want to point something out regarding the email address, askdean@globalfact2012.com, which people can send their questions early on in the week before the show airs. They can send it to that email address. But I think people are believing or thinking that that email address goes directly to Dean. It doesn't, because reading some of the emails I'm receiving, it sounds like people are asking for advice from Dean directly. This email address, I'm the one that's managing it, and I use that email for you guys to post your questions, and then I will relay those questions to Dean on the air. Dean does not see that email address, so save yourself the time and don't send email hoping he's going to see them. He won't. Try to keep your questions short, precise, and to the point, because I'm receiving an overwhelming number of emails, and I'm not trying to be rude or anything here, but it takes so much time to read through it. Try to keep your questions that you send on the email address pertinent to the actual topic at hand for that specific week. All right. Once again, I would like to remind you that if you have the means, if you're enjoying the show and you have the means to do so, please be generous to donate. I did post finally today a page with a donate button for the Global Fact Radio Show. And that page, you can go to globalfact2012.com. Okay, whoever's called in.
That's actually me. I don't know why I keep doing that.
Well, you need to press stop on the player there, Dean.
Yeah, I've pressed pause about five times now. That's okay. Keep going.
Okay. Also, if you're on loudspeaker, then maybe you might want to consider lowering the volume, because some people have complained that it's feedbacking.
Done.
If you have a headset, it's even better, but if you don't, then just lower the volume a bit. Okay, so The Global Fact website, ladies and gentlemen, where you can make a donation is, here it is right there. I just posted it right now. Anything you can donate would be greatly appreciated if you have the means. If you don't have the means, don't sweat it, guys. You're still welcome to tune into the show and enjoy the shows and benefit from the teachings of Dean. We're not going to be force you to donate. But if you have the means, please help us out because it's getting costly, especially now we're considering moving up to a higher plan in order to accommodate more callers. Because I noticed last week when it came towards the end of the stream, end of the 2 hours, our switchboard filled up at 50. And with this current plan, we only can handle 50 live callers. The next plan allows us to handle 100 live callers. So we might have to move up to a higher plan, and that costs more money. Last announcement I have is regarding our YouTube channel. I have now started populating it with all the episodes from all the previous episodes that we've done with Dean. And now those are all courtesy of, my God, I just forgot his name. I had it on the tip of my tongue. Well, he knows who he is. When you go to the YouTube channel and you'll see the name of the person who actually edited those videos and uploaded them, and I just kind of linked to them. So I want to thank him personally for doing that work. And that's about it for announcements. Dean, it's all over to you. So you posted that 12-minute video, which I reposted it myself on the YouTube channel. Now, first, before we start, Dean, for our new listeners, people who are joining the show new, which I know there are some today because they've emailed me and told me they're just starting to listen. Was that an actual encounter or was it a role play?
Oh, that's the first 12 minutes of an actual encounter from earlier this summer. That's an old one, actually. I just thought I'd start posting it. I forgot it was on my computer for a while there. And it's actually the first 12 minutes of another hour and a half that we're going to be releasing right away, which gets even more ridiculous. And in fact, I didn't even start recording for about 20 minutes into this confrontation because I didn't think they were serious. So I kind of thought they were just going to mess with me a little bit and that was going to be the end of it. But they turned out to be a little bit more resilient than I expected, not in their knowledge and any of their claims, just in their refusal to actually go away or be able to say anything even remotely intellectual. So, yeah, that's an actual encounter.
Oh, perfect. Okay, so guys, you guys heard the 12-minute video, hopefully. So I think the best way to do this is I'm going to play it. So it's only 12 minutes, not that long. So I'm going to play it once again for those who haven't heard it, and then we'll start picking it apart and asking questions about it. How does that sound, Dean?
Oh man, I didn't even like listening to it the second time I heard it.
Oh, just be patient with us here, 'cause I know some people. I'm pretty sure some people haven't had a chance to hear it yet, so I think it's best if we play it on the air.
Yeah, let's keep in mind with people as well that you got to remember this actually took place about 15 minutes after it came back across the American border in southern British Columbia after just having spent 6 hours with the Department of Homeland Security while I was crossing, attempting to cross down into Washington State to go to Ysetti Ranch for my conference. So I'd already just spent 6 hours being grilled and having discussions with the Department of Homeland Security that I've got the transcripts for mostly here at home as well that I should probably publish at some point as well. And that's the infamous conversation where they kept telling me I was being denied entry into the United States, and every time they'd say that, I'd ask them which one, and they kept telling me they couldn't talk about that. So after 6 hours of that, I crossed the border back into Canada. About maybe 5 minutes up the road, Canada Customs has the RCMP waiting for me, so which another 2.5 hours confrontation ensues. So I was a little tired already by this time of the day, and I was getting a little tired of going over this stuff over and over and over again. So,
okay, before we start the clip, Len Duff is asking about the Skype link to listen in. If you're talking about the Skype logo on which you can use to call in for free, is that it? If that's what you're referring to, if it's not up on the episode page directly to the right of the call-in number, then you need to either refresh your page or close down that page and reload it again. That logo only shows up once the episode goes live. If you had been on the page before the episode goes live, it probably wouldn't have come up for you. So close it down and reload it, and it should be there. Okay, so we're going to start by playing the clip. So everybody listen carefully, because there's going to be a quiz test on this afterwards. Just kidding. All right, here we go.
It should have been for me. I could have done so much better than that if I wasn't so tired.
So, hello. What about leaving, like, if we could take in somewhere where you can get insurance, okay? And then instead of me towing your vehicle, I know you're worried about me seizing your vehicle, which I don't want to do if I don't have to.
Well, and I believe you don't. Here's the problem with that. Insurance is commercial insurance.
Yep.
It actually, in there, I have to declare my property as being under the authority of Canada, and I declare it to be performing a public service of some kind. Mm-hmm. And I'm not performing a public service, right?
No, I'm just going by the laws that I'm supposed to enforce in this province where you need insurance.
Well, no, I understand that, but right? here's the thing. Just answer me a quick question. I mean, aside from the Criminal Code of Canada, it says the public has the right to the use of the highways, and rights are unconditional. They're a right. And the fact that then Section 15 of the Criminal Code of Canada says that I don't have to obey a de facto government, and Canada is a de facto foreign administration. They admit that on the website for the Governor General of Canada. Okay, I don't have to obey a de facto foreign administration. Then we go back to the Bill of Rights. Now, the Bill of Rights obviously supersedes a Highway Traffic Act, right?
Well, the Charter is the supreme law of Canada, but I'm not a lawyer that's going to argue.
Now, actually, Section 52 actually clearly states that the Charter is the supreme law of Canada.
Yep.
And then if you go back to Section 32, it tells you it only applies to the government of Canada. Agents and officers of the government of Canada. It doesn't apply to private citizens.
No, it applies to everybody.
Oh, no, there's case law on that. R versus Dell and Big Ebb Drug Mart all say that it does not apply to interactions between the private citizens in no way, shape, or form to any of the statutes. Not only that, the Bill of Rights clearly says, right?
Without getting into a giant legal argument.
Well, no, but hang on. Just tell me if this makes sense to you, though. The Bill of Rights clearly says in it that I can't be denied property without due process of law. Number one, I can't have property seized, right? Just arbitrary confiscation of property is against the law. That's against the law. Seizing my truck would be against the law.
Yep.
Okay? Not only that, it also says in there that no law can be written or construed so as to abridge or infringe on any of my rights, which means the Highway Traffic Act, if it says you have the authority to take my truck, then it's construed or it was written to try to infringe or abrogate one of my rights, which means there's no force or effect, and I don't have a license binding me to it. I don't consent to be regulated by it.
Okay. Well, you're putting me in an awfully difficult spot.
I know.
I'm trying to make
sir,
your life
I,
easy
I know,
too.
Sir. I actually just want to go home, and like I said, if you guys have a charge against me, you're more than welcome to make one. There's no injured party who's making a claim against me, which means I'm innocent of any wrongdoing right now. I'm not committing a crime. If I'm being accused of a crime, that's not a cause of action to deprive me of property, right? I can only be deprived of property by due process of law, which means I've been found guilty of a crime. Seizing my truck at the side of the road would be a crime because there's no due process.
And I'm trying to find a way around that for you.
I know.
Like,
well,
you can park it here. I can take you someplace where you can get insurance. You can have the truck towed wherever you want.
I will never be getting insurance ever again. It says right in the papers you sign that you are declaring your property to be government use. Okay, I'm not government use. I don't know how many ways I can say that. I want nothing to do with the Foreign Administration of Canada. Okay, the Charter and Rights and Freedoms is Schedule B to the Canada Act, UK of 1982. The Charter and Rights and Freedoms is a piece of United Kingdom legislation, and it was an act to rename the British North America Act, which means that Canada Corporation. I recognize you as a peace officer under His Oath of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II, who's the keeper of the trust of the Commonwealth. That's common law. Now you're trying to come at me with Canadian, with commercial codes of Canada, all the corporation from the United Kingdom. Okay? If you're a peace officer under the Commonwealth, you cannot try to contract with me through statutes under Canada. Right? That's malfeasance of office. That's being double-minded. Okay? You can't be double-minded. It's either one or the other. I haven't breached the peace.
Nope.
I haven't committed any crime. There's no injured party. No one's accusing me of anything.
Mm-hmm.
But you want to take my property. That's a crime. That's against the law.
No, I want to make sure that you have insurance so you can legally drive your puppy. You have no driver's license. You have no insurance. You have no registration. You have none of the
things
that you need.
That's all Highway Traffic Act stuff,
absolutely,
right? Which is all basically everything that I just spoke to you about, to a common law, Charter Rights and Freedoms, and the Bill of Rights all supersede that. That's the lowest piece of legislation in existence. It's superseded by everything I gave you.
And this would be a scintillating argument in the court of law, but we're not in the court of law right now. We're on
the side of the road.
I have a job to do.
I understand that. I don't want to waste your time. Believe me, I really don't. I actually really my free will is to go home with my private property right now. Right? I don't want to be denied my free will, and I don't want to have to cause another big stink where I have to start coming after the police and putting PPSA liens against RCMP detachments and coming after people, because I don't want to do that. You want to go home to your family tonight, I want to go home to my family
Absolutely.
Tonight, and I want to take my truck with me, and I want my rights respected, and my rights are to not be deprived of property without due process of law. And you believing I need insurance is not due process of law. Okay, so if you want to charge me with something, you know where to find me. I was very forthright with where I can be found,
absolutely.
All documentation, I'm being peaceful, I obviously know the law, right? And all I want is my rights to not have my property confiscated without due process of law. I want that right, I want my right to access the highways, I want my right to be not hindered by agencies of government when there's no injured party. Whether or not there may be an injured party down the road is irrelevant. Okay.
Well, it isn't to me, because you're right now that having an injured party down the road, like as a fellow human being, and like you said, you want to go home to your family, I want to go home to mine.
There's more likely to be an accident right now by you accidentally getting hit by a
Absolutely.
Bad driver on these highways.
Which
I don't
is why
want
we should
you,
resolve this as quick as possible.
I agree.
Right?
So after that, I mean, I'm going to want probably another peace officer to come out to be my witness. I'm probably going to want a show cause hearing right here on the side of the highway. I want somebody to show cause why they believe they have the right to deprive me of my property.
Well, we're not.
I'm probably going to wind up calling them. Then, like I say, if you have a charge you want to bring against me, bring it against me afterwards.
I can do that right here.
Yeah, then charge me with something if a crime's been committed, right?
Right.
Then charge me and present me with the original charging instrument.
Yep. Right? I can do that right here.
I know.
I'm just trying to be decent with you.
Honestly, my free will is to go home. You know the Bill of Rights says that I have the right to not be deprived of private property without due process of law.
Well, the Bill of Rights isn't an American thing. It's the Charter of Rights here in Canada, right?
Oh, no. We 1960 Bill of Rights. Diefenbaker. You've never read the Bill of Rights? Canadian Bill of Rights?
Well, the Charter, like you just said, the Charter of Supreme Law of Canada supersedes everything, right? So.
Yeah, and again, Section 32 says it only applies to agencies of the government. I'm not a government agent.
Yeah.
That's why I don't have government ID. If I had government ID, let me ask you a question. Do you own your driver's license? Is it yours?
No, it's not mine.
It's property of the province.
Absolutely.
So even if I had a driver's license, would it be mine?
Yeah, well, it's semantics, and like I said,
it's not semantics. It's a very big point of law, right?
Yeah.
And we do have you've never read the Canadian Bill of Rights, passed by the Diefenbaker government in 1960. See, I've read that, and I'm a house builder.
Yeah, I'm a house builder, too. I built houses for years before I started doing this.
Nice. Really, that's nice. I like tradespeople. Tradespeople normally get this kind of stuff faster.
Yeah.
So the thing is, I don't want to contract with you guys. I don't want to contract with you tonight. I don't want to do business with you at all. Okay? I don't want to do business. That's actually one of the most fundamentally protected human rights on the planet is the right to not contract with somebody.
Yep.
I don't want to contract with you, right? You do not have my consent. I don't want to contract with you. I'm peaceful. I haven't breached the peace.
Nope, and you're being polite with me, and I
have no reason not to be polite with you because you've been incredibly polite with me. I just want to go home, and I know my rights, and I know I have the right to go home with my property.
Okay,
if you want to bring a charge against me, you know where to find me.
Yeah, we can do that right now. I can get you the paperwork right now if you want.
Yeah, what would you like to charge me with?
Well, not having a driver's license.
Okay, that's a statute.
Insurance, no insurance, right?
Okay.
And no registration either.
Okay,
right?
Well, I don't have a driver's license. So
you could have a temporary operating permit, which would allow you to drive without having registration.
That's an,
have one of
that's an operator permit, again.
Exactly.
I don't require any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you have your opinion. I have mine.
Mm-hmm.
I've done my research.
Mm-hmm.
You've never read the Bill of Rights. We have one. Okay, and the Bill of Rights is actually for the people.
Mm-hmm.
The Constitution of Canada is for the Corporation of Canada, which is a piece of United Kingdom legislation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's actually a foreign administrative authority. That's why Canada is spelled in all capital letters.
Mm-hmm.
Her Majesty on the beginning of your Motor Vehicle Act is spelled all capital Her Majesty. That is not Her Majesty the Queen in right of Canada. That's not Her Majesty the Queen, Queen Elizabeth
mm-hmm.
of the House of Windsor. Okay, it's a registered corporation in the United States. I've got case law on that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to enforce commercial codes on me that have nothing to do with me. I don't, and though that's all contract law, I don't want to contract with you through the Corporation of Canada.
Do you understand what the purpose of insurance is? The purpose of insurance is do you have, it's a, looks like the truck's in decent shape, but say
it's most certainly roadworthy.
But it has a mechanical failure, okay?
Yep.
You go left to center and you pile into a minivan where
yep.
the sole breadwinner of that minivan is
yep.
killed, right?
Okay.
Nothing to your fault, but that insurance company, the insurance,
yep.
the purpose of that
yep.
is so that the wife and the three kids in that van
yep.
have some reason, some
well,
way
of supporting number one, I can tell you right now that Canada has something called no-fault liability, okay? And that means that it doesn't matter who's at fault. Those people are covered whether they have insurance or not and whether I have insurance or not. We have no-fault liability
mm-hmm.
in Canada, okay? And number two, if I was driving, pretend that was to happen. Number one, that's an act of God. Nobody can stop that. Insurance
mm-hmm.
can't cover that, okay? Insurance doesn't even cover act of God. Number two, where was I going with that? I had another point, but I get lost sometimes. If I was driving in an irresponsible fashion
mm-hmm.
or I was speeding grotesquely and endangering the public,
mm-hmm.
that's now a common law crime, right? That's a jury can hear that. They
which
can
you
say,
weren't. The reason I stopped is because you don't have a license plate.
I absolutely agree with you, man.
Yeah.
And then what I'm trying to say is what I said before, is everything that I've read off to you, which supersedes the Highway Traffic Act. In fact, the Motor Vehicle Act
mm-hmm.
clearly states in there that if you're a non-resident of Canada or a non-resident of the province, which I'm not a resident. Resident means to hold office.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do I look like I'm wearing a uniform?
Where do you live then if you don't live in Canada?
Oh, no, resident and where you live are two different
mm-hmm.
things. I inhabit the province of Manitoba, the proper one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have a domicile there.
Mm-hmm.
I am a non-resident. And it says right in that act itself that non-residents only have to comply with the laws of the jurisdiction they come from.
Mm-hmm.
I come from the common law jurisdiction, sovereign man on the land. Right? I don't have to obey a de facto government like Canada. Section 15 of the Criminal Code clearly states that. I don't have to obey a de facto government. I gave them notice of that.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's been notified, all parties. And I'm completely complying with the law. I'm in complete compliance with the law right now.
Okay, well, just give me a minute here and I'll try and get you out of here as quick as I can.
Thank you.
Well, there you go, everyone. For those of you who haven't heard it, you heard it for the first time. And those of you who have heard it before, you probably got some ideas, a more clear idea of what happened there. I personally, Dean, think I love the way you had those hidden innuendos. I don't know if you did that on purpose or not, but especially the part where you're talking about being polite to each other. You said, why wouldn't I be polite with you? I have no reason not to be polite with you. In other words, you're telling most of you assholes are dickheads. But you've been okay, so that's what I got out of that. I don't know about the rest of you guys, but it's like there's those hidden innuendos, and I laughed when I heard that. Okay, so
yeah, there's a few innuendos in there where I don't even know if he caught it, where I was using a bit of satire about him not having read the Bill of Rights, where you know we have one, you know, like the Bill of Rights says, you know, we have one. Yeah, I'm a house builder. I've read it. So I don't think they pick up on that kind of stuff, though. Like somebody had mentioned in our last call, our last radio show there last week, right at the very end when most people were probably gone, is that there is a lawsuit in the United States, apparently it's case law, that some guy who didn't get accepted into the police force sued them because he was denied because his IQ was too high. They don't want intelligent people. Intelligent people would actually have followed the arguments I was making and would have gone, oh, yeah, that kind of makes sense, except for these people. So that was Constable Dave Williams from the Cranbrook RCMP in British Columbia. I charged him with 26 criminal charges that I'm still pursuing. There's a little bit of a hiccup in that right now, and I'm glad because I need to actually withdraw them and make a correction on my paperwork before I put it back in. That's going to make it impossible for the judge to not allow the case to be heard. But this, okay, number one, I'm glad I had this, because a lot of people think I'm just nothing but swearing and ranting, okay? I'm swearing and ranting now because I've had it. After 12 years of this, to still have occurrences like this on the highway where I am injured by a moron with a gun, I shouldn't say moron, sorry, an ignorant individual who wasn't even aware that Canada had a Bill of Rights, but he's law enforcement? Are you kidding me? This guy's law enforcement? The guy's never read a damn thing he's enforcing, but he's law enforcement.
But Dean, you can't blame him. He was a contractor before.
Yeah, well, actually, that's even worse. Yeah, exactly. That's unforgivable then, because us contractors even know this shit. He should be the most informed RCMP officer if he was a house builder before this. He should be able to walk through that RCMP station and say, "Hey guys, I'm a contractor. I haven't filed taxes in 15 years. You know, you don't have to file." That's what a true contractor does. But so I've done the nice approach. There's another 1.5 hours of this where it kind of, at one point, they actually open my door. I do get arrested for the purpose of taking me out of the truck. And then they take me out back and they make me stand there, and they handcuff me to the front there. I tell them that they're not allowed to handcuff me behind my back, and I continue to record them even though I'm handcuffed and I'm shoving my phone in their face. And I'm at that point, then I start berating them and ridiculing them and belittling them. And that's when it starts to get really funny, because they're getting really, really mad at me at this point. But what are they going to do? They can't arrest me. In fact, it turns out they couldn't even issue a notice of seizure that they stole the truck. Now, right in the act that they claim that they were enforcing, the British Columbia Motor Vehicle Act, Section 5 clearly outlines for them that they are required to give me a notice of seizure when they take my property. What proof do I have that they stole my truck? Well, it turns out none, because it's been moved to 3 different tow companies since. And every time I call the tow truck company, I say, "Why do you have my truck?" "Oh, well, the RCMP dropped it off." "Oh, good. You have some paperwork then?" "Well, no." "Isn't that kind of odd?" "Well, yeah." I said, "Well, you better have some proof, because I'm going to charge you criminally with theft, and I'm going to sue the living shit out of you, and I'm going to destroy your tow truck company unless you give me my truck back." 3 weeks later, I get another letter. It's at another tow truck company now. So they know what they did was criminal. So there's no point in being nice with them if that's just – they know that they're just there to intimidate you and to steal property. That's it.
Okay, just let's back up a little bit. So exactly what happened when he said, "I'll be back to get you out of here as soon as possible"? So what took place after that?
Well, then that's the next hour. There's another hour that's coming out right away that I think that Alex and Martin were attaching to a little picture thing so it can be uploaded to Vimeo. And that next hour is them just at that point ignoring everything I say. And then they just open the door of my truck without my permission, and that's when I start to get a little bit belligerent. They don't touch me at all, though. They do physically threaten me, though. And that leads to the next 45 minutes where I'm just kind of belittling and berating them. And they can't answer anything. It's absolutely disgusting. I used to have another audio, by the way, Tony, of an incident that happened 2 years ago here just on the perimeter of Winnipeg. And I maybe the individual still has the recording. I'm not too sure. I know I don't. Or maybe I do. Never mind. I'll look for it. But it was the same thing. RCMP at your window. This was a 2 hour off. They ended up smashing out my window and stealing my truck. I never got that one back. That was another $30,000 diesel truck that I paid cash for from contracting. Never got that one back. But they kept repeating the same idiot statements. They kept saying, "Sir, the Highway Traffic Act states..." I said, "Do you have it here with you?" No, sir, I don't." I said, "Well, then how do I know you're telling me the truth?" "Sir, blah, blah..." Then they have something else stupid to say. And I kept saying, well, every time I asked them a question, the answer was, "Sir, it's in the Highway Traffic Act. Sir, it's in the Highway Traffic Act." I said, "Can you recite one line of the Highway Traffic Act for me right now, please? Just one line. Just recite it right now." And then they give you that dumb, blank stare. And the only thing that was missing was drool coming out of his mouth. And then I asked him another question, and then I asked him one more question about the act, and he finally said, his answer was, the Manitoba Highway, the Manitoba Highway Traffic Act, and I'm like, oh, thanks, buddy. I might have thought I was in Moscow by accident. it's sad though, and that's why these people are on the front lines, because.
Okay, so I noticed too that you kept continually interrupting him during that 12-minute dialogue. Was that intentional? Were you trying to intentionally be in control of the conversation, or?
Absolutely.
Okay, so that was like some intentional tactic you were doing?
Yeah, but I don't care about what he has to say. What he has to say to me means nothing to me. In fact, now I would probably even be far less, I wouldn't even respond to the idiotic statement he's making. Well, yeah, but had you continued on down the highway and had there been a mechanical failure and you swerved to the oncoming traffic lane and killed somebody, insurance would have covered that person. Oh, really? Insurance would have brought that person back to life, would they? Oh, okay. They're like just stupid things to try to reason with you, but he couldn't quote any law. Do you notice that, Tony?
Well, not only that, but when I heard that part, the first thing that came to my mind was that movie by Tom Cruise, Minority Report, where they actually convict you for a crime that they think you're going to commit in the future.
Yeah.
You know, like
yeah,
this kind
yeah,
of thing.
Future crimes. That's exactly
future
it.
Future crimes. Yeah. So that you're being so basically here, based on the Bill of Rights, you said to him that you cannot confiscate my property without due process of law. If you do, you're doing it illegally because I haven't broken the law yet. I'm operating with lawfully. So you're telling me that just for the purpose, just for the possibility of my truck swerving off the road and hurting somebody, you are illegally going to confiscate my truck or my property on that premise.
But what you got to understand, Tony, is there's no reasoning with these people. There's not some logical argument you're going to bring up. The only thing they're scared of is you ending their career afterwards at this point. Is this guy going to be able to sue me successfully? And am I liable for everything that happens here tonight? And that's
okay,
actually the next round of audios that are coming out there. The next one's an hour long. We do get into that.
Okay,
get into that.
It's great that you just mentioned that about the fact that you have the ability to end this guy's career. What if at the beginning you had told the person, you informed the officer that you will be recording this conversation? Then somewhere down the line, like when you were talking about the Bill of Rights, why not ask him, the officer, who do you serve? As an officer of the law, who do you serve, the people or the de facto government? If he knows it's being recorded, what would he answer to that? Maybe he might choose not to answer.
They won't believe me. The next hour, you're going to witness an amazing inability to answer anything from these people. They're not there to answer questions. All they keep saying is, that sounds like a wonderful argument for court. That's all they keep saying. Like, the equivalent would be, Tony, actually, funny enough, I was going to do a little video log post this week where I was going to come up with this exact scenario, and I probably still will. But could you imagine if I was if I just decided that I was going to go and rape somebody, literally, and I just go and I walk somewhere down the street and I find some woman walking down the road and I grab her and I drag her into the bushes, and she starts screaming, help, rape, stop, whatever, I don't know. And then she tells me, you're raping me. This is against the law. Stop. And my response to that was, well, that sounds like a fascinating argument for court. That's for a court to determine. That is what's going on here. That is the idiocy. That's what's transpiring, the side of the road. Armed people stealing my truck who are unable to actually explain what they're doing, saying, well, it sounds like a fascinating argument for court. That's for a court to determine whether or not this is theft or whether or not I have the right to do this. Like, are you insane? They just have no concept. They are so deluded that what they're doing is right or correct or that they have the authority.
Well, you got me curious now. I'm kind of can't wait for the remaining audio or video portion that you guys are going to post up. But Dean, as I mentioned earlier on in the show, that I do have a co-host with us right now, Del, and Del is online with us. Del, what do you think about all this? Do you have anything to add? Do you want to comment to Dean?
Well, I was impressed by the way we had two nice guys killing each other with kindness, discussing statutes on the side of the road. But
it was endangering my life, I might add.
Well, it was quite impressive, Dean, that you went 12 minutes without cussing.
Oh, I went another hour and a half without cussing. I can do it. I'm capable of it.
So one of the questions that popped up on the chat room is, since you've taken these steps to, you know, prepare yourself and to rebut these presumptions, why do you pull over in the first place?
Well, interesting that you asked that, because we do have a story of what happens when you don't pull over, and that would be my brother. He called me one time because the Turner Valley RCMP, which are next on my target list, have it out for my brother because he refused to respect their authority. So they decided they were going to pull him over one day. He doesn't have a driver's license either. He doesn't care what he drives. He just doesn't care, period, which is a fantastic stance to take, by the way. I don't care if it's licensed. I don't care if this thing has a plate. I don't care. I have permission from the owner. I'm driving it. I have the right to drive. I don't need no frickin' license, whatever. He just drives. He doesn't care. Doesn't give a shit. So he phones me the one day, and he goes, hey, dude, there's a cop behind me trying to pull me over. And I'm like, oh, he's driving the Hummer, I think, that day. And I'm like, well, what are you going to do? I think I'm just going to keep driving home. I started laughing. I'm like, well, I'm like, I really don't recommend that. I mean, they're probably going to put up a blockade, and this could get pretty serious. They really don't like it when you don't stop at all. And he's like, well, whatever. He goes, I'll just keep driving home, see what happens. And so we're just talking about casual stuff for the next 2-3 minutes. And Darren says this guy kept following him with the lights on for 2-3 minutes, you know, just driving the speed limit or slightly under. And then at one point, he just hit the brakes, stopped, turned his lights off, did a U-E on the highway, and burned off the other direction. And I started, and he's like, oh, never mind, he stopped. And I started laughing. We didn't hear anything more about that for about another 4 or 5 months. And then when they did their big sting takedown of him just this last fall, the previous one to this one just this December, that was one of the new charges that was added to it, was failure to pull over for a peace officer. So, and you got to remember, guys, that they're calling themselves peace officers when they're doing this because they have redefined what a peace officer is under the Highway Traffic Act. So when they say peace officer, don't let that fool you, because they consider themselves a peace officer as defined by the Highway Traffic Act. They just leave that part out. So, yeah, hey, by all means, simply don't pull over. Actually, in the next hour of video, you're going to hear where I reference that I actually called 911 after the first two times they came to my window, and I called 911 and I said, yeah, hi, I'm being detained on the highway by, I don't know what they are. Maybe they could possibly be highwaymen because they have guns. And they keep demanding my truck from me, and I don't want them to take it. I feel very threatened. Could you please send me out a peace officer? They said, a common law peace officer, please. And then during the next hour, speaking to these guys, I said, yeah, I said, when's my peace officer going to show up? I called 911, and I asked for a peace officer, a common law peace officer, to be dispatched. Where is he? Well, I don't know anything about that. I said, well, I said, you should. I said, I call 911. Well, they don't dispatch to this area. Really? Really? Just lies. Lies. Lies and stupidity. Anyways, if you, I don't recommend not pulling over at all. That's just going to really, really cause a problem. They are going to do blockades. It gives them an excuse to demonize us further. Oh, look at the lack of respect they show for us. They don't even bother. They don't even feel the need to pull over anymore to discuss things with us. So, myself personally, that actually might be what I do next time. I don't know, but I don't advocate it for the novice. Let's put it that way.
Well, it seems in your brother's example, it didn't work to his disadvantage anyway.
No, it didn't, because all it was another bullshit charge to deal with later that we don't care about anyways. We just don't care. In fact, he even called the RCMP station when we got home and said, and asked him, what do you guys want? Blah, 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 blah. You know, something I can't remember. It's something stupid. He says, well, tell your idiots to leave me alone. Quit effing following me on the highway. says, next time they do that, I'm going to hit the brakes so fucking hard they're going to smash into the back of me, and then they're going to cause an accident. Right? So he doesn't care. That's why they hate him so much. But they can't do anything.
Okay, Dean, just before this thing scrolls off the screen here, because once it scrolls, we won't be able to get it. Lady Fairfax is saying something about Mike Golden wants you on his show.
Oh, I believe she's actually on my Skype, so she could actually Skype me there, and I'll try to get to my Skype later tonight. I just got home 20 minutes before we did the show here tonight. So.
Okay, and I think the show is called American Reconstruction. Okay,
cool.
Dale, any more questions from the chat room?
Well, you know, one thing that when we talk about the emergency lights being turned on to pull us over, there was a YouTube video I saw. I believe the guy's name was Charlie Sprinkle. And he had mentioned that when the policeman uses the lights, that he sets himself up as an imposter. I wonder if Dean knows more about that.
Well, yeah, there's supposed to be emergency lights. I remember reading the statutes on this as well, and actually there is no emergency. There's people that do that as well. When they get pulled over and the cop comes up to the window, you know, can I be of assistance, peace officers? Is there something wrong? Yeah, license and registration. They're like, well, no, what's the emergency? What's wrong? You're using your emergency lights. What's the emergency? They're not to use those emergency lights just for the purpose of... Maybe they are now. Maybe they've legislated that in now, too. Who knows? They'll legislate anything in now. They just don't care. But get it all recorded, because it's very embarrassing, by the way, when this stuff gets recorded and this makes it onto the internet later. Like when you have police officers that use their emergency lights to pull you over and then they admit that they have no claim against you. It's just their belief that you require insurance. And that they haven't even read the Bill of Rights, the Canadian Bill of Rights. That's pathetic and embarrassing. Yeah, I think that really helps our cause, actually, to show what ignorant people these are that we're dealing with on the roads. So.
Okay, I guess we do have a question from through the email. It says... do you know anyone that has done a form of political self-declaration with State Secretary of State and has been successful in gaining a form of hands-off with policy keepers?
I don't think it's all that uncommon, to be honest with you. There's been lots of stuff around Canada that's surprising that we don't hear about. Even up in BC, I remember there was a local newspaper that had published a story about a local guy who had received a letter from Canada acknowledging that he doesn't consent to be part of Canada anymore, and he doesn't want to be regulated by statutes. And they sent him back a letter that said, okay, you're out. Just that simple. Some other stuff I read the other day confirms exactly what I thought about the registration to vote in the democracy. Once you get out of the registration process, you obviously, you know, that's just another way to show that you've moved your consent to be part of their foreign administration. And it is a foreign administration. People shouldn't confuse the de facto government of Canada with the real Canada, because there is a real Canada. Those people that are sitting in office, they're imposters. They're not the government. Again, what does the word occupant mean when they say they're the occupant of the office? Occupying is an adversarial term, is it not? So they're in adverse possession of those positions of authority, which means they're of no authority. Something else we'll get to maybe in a future show. Or FU. That's probably something we'll discuss at FU. There's a lot of stuff I don't talk about on the show, by the way, Tony. I know we discussed that the other day. Tony had brought up with me, probably a little off topic here, on the previous show there I had mentioned that there was something I couldn't talk about because I was about to get into something that I don't like to talk about on the air. No, I'm not a government agent, actually. What happens is I speak to a lot of people across Canada, the United States, Australia, a lot of people that are private and don't like to be public in any way. And we have conversations that they've asked me to keep private. So that's when I say I can't talk about that, that's because that was something from a private conversation that I know I was asked not to speak about. That's it. So anyways, yes, lots of people have gotten out of the system. It's just not going to be in your local newspaper.
Okay, another email from Mark Russell. First, thank you for your effort, Dean. I fully support you, and as a newbie to this life, very thankful for men such as you. I watched the traffic stop video you post, and you mentioned about no-fault insurance. I tried to do some due diligence on this, and only getting insurance company and insurance council of Ontario. This guy's using abbreviations, I don't understand. Ontario sites. With regards to giving up your plates and license, of course, this would make any insurance you had void by contract. So what insurance does cover you by your comments, and where would I be able to do the research on that information? Thank you.
Okay.
With love, with respect, and peace, Mark.
Oh, awesome. Okay, I would say twofold I could answer this to the best of my belief and understanding. Number one, it's my understanding there's actually an act out there that clearly establishes that the hang on here, let me think for one second. The Attorney General of the individual provinces actually underwrites non-residents, which means you automatically have insurance. Again, in common law, there's no such thing as insurance in the first place. And number two that I was going to get onto here, and that's what I was trying to get this. I don't even think I got into that with the cop, but I did kind of. It's that guy's insurance that's supposed to cover him. If he wants to secure his car and he wants to make sure that he's covered in case he gets harmed on the roads and killed because he's the breadwinner of the family, that, you know, his attempt there to plead to my good nature, that burden is on the individual that's scared to lose his life on the highway or lose his property on the highway. Okay? That burden is not on me. The burden is not on me to insure everybody else on the highway. That burden is on them. Right? So it's just, it's idiocy arguments. And if you want to be, you are insured already. It's my belief, number one, because as the people of this land, it's not like we have to pay for any health care services in the first place. And if I cause harm, well, that's why my share of the resources and everything else is all held in trust. I have the ability to pay that because I own 1/33 millionth of this country, all the resources and everything. So that's all held in trust, waiting for me to possibly cause harm. And that's why we are automatically bonded. The birth certificate, there is a bond that exists. And that's what the birth certificate represents. Like I think I'd mentioned before when I was crossing the border earlier that day when I was getting into it with customs people and Department of Homeland Security, and I had sent a copy of my bond to the United States Consulate in Canada and said, I'm going to be crossing the border on this day, at this time, at this border. Here's my live birth record. Here's my bond. Here's the photo ID I'll be using. If there's any problems, get back to me. They didn't. I go to cross the border. Of course, they haul me in there, and they're like, well, sir, you know, your truck has no insurance. I said, oh, sure it does. I said, were you not sent a copy of my bond that I sent to your consulate last month? They should have made sure you had a copy here for when I was crossing. And they're blah, 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 we don't know anything about that, and a bunch of other crap. And then he comes back five, 10 minutes later, and he's got all the documents after I made a big stink about it. I said, well, look, I said, your people's incompetence is not my deficiency. That's not my liability because you people are incompetent and can't afford paperwork when I was good enough to let you know my intentions weeks in advance. And he goes away and he comes back and he's got a birth certificate and a lie. He goes, well, sir, I don't have an insurance policy here, but there's a lot. There's a birth certificate. And I said, oh yeah, that's the bond right there, sir. That's a birth certificate. That is not a bond. I said, sir, that is a bond. I'm afraid not, sir. I said, I'm afraid so, sir.
And
he kind of smiles at me. He walks away with all the documents again, and then he's gone for another 5-10 minutes. Then he comes back, and he was a nice gentleman, actually. He's just doing his job. He's just trying to, you know, put the fear in me and see what I know. He comes back, and he throws all the documents down the table again. He goes, sir, this doesn't cover your truck while you're on the roads. So he just acknowledged it is a bond, and it covers me. So he said, well, it doesn't cover your truck. I said, oh, does it not? He said, here, slide it over and give me a pen. I'll write a bond order on there so it covers my truck while I'm driving on the roads. And he pulls it all away real quick and he goes, that won't be necessary, sir. We know what it is, okay? I'm already insured. We don't need secondary insurance. We don't need an insurance company to act as an intermediary to be able to access our insurance policy, our bonding. That's all that we're doing when we go and we get insurance. We're paying somebody a monthly fee to act as an intermediary when, if we do cause harm, they go get the money from our bond anyways. They are never out money. No insurance company on this planet has ever paid out a claim ever from their own money. They go and they get the money from your bond, and they keep all that fees you pay as an administrative fee for doing what you can do yourself. It's one of the things I'm trying to teach people. We're going to get into that in the FU University, I think, because that's all the government is, period. They are an intermediary charging you fees for doing what you could do yourself with a little self-education. Anyways, that's my rant on that.
So, Dean, with the way you described, you took preparation to let them know in advance before you cross the border. Might that have been a situation where if you'd done it with enough time and they hadn't gotten back to you, that you could have had your default notice with you?
Well, I don't need a default. I'm not trying to default them. I'm just saying, hey, I don't need to do this, but I'm doing it because I'm nice. I just want you guys to be prepared. I'm coming across the border. I have no insurance. I have no license plates, no government issue plates. Well, it is government issue. I issued them. They are government.
But you're, on the other hand, though, you're dealing with people where, you know, like the nice trooper on the side of the road, he couldn't rebut anything you said. It all went over his head. So that's why I was wondering if maybe having some sort of default where they've already had the opportunity to counter, you know, their higher-ups have the opportunity to counter.
I've done that in Manitoba and Canada. I sent them all the notices in the world of exactly what I was doing, and if they claimed I didn't have the right to issue my own plate and to drive without one of their licenses, and I just grant myself the authority to do that, they have every option in the world to respond to me at any point. And they've never responded to me ever. I've got all the registered mail on this up the wazoo. They just ignore it all because they know or they feel confident in their ability to be able to stymie us in the court systems and inhibit our access to remedy. That's all it is. It's like they know they're rapists. They know what they're doing is breaking the law, but they're confident that as a rapist, they will never get caught. They will never have to face their accuser in a court that's actually going to hold them accountable. They're very confident in that. That's the only problem here. Not a lack of ability on our part to express our rights. Well, maybe with some people it is, but for the most part, the ones that do especially. And again, I made myself a bit of a big target. They knew that this was going to be all over Facebook. They knew that if they let me across the border without ID, without a government plate, without any of that shit, and I made it to Washington State, that would have been on Facebook, and within a month there'd be 10,000 people trying the same thing. So it's worth the risk. And when you consider what all transpires from this, you got to remember the alleged war on terror is going on right now. The United States views anybody trying to come across the border, as a potential terrorist, and they don't look kindly on it. So here you have a guy who has a private plate in his truck, no driver's license of any kind, no government ID of any kind except for a live birth record, and I didn't have the original with me either. I just took a photocopy. I'm trying to cross the border. And it's all over Facebook as it is. Everybody knew I was going to do it. And then after 6 hours of not being able to tell me which United States was not allowing me access, I just said, okay, you know what? I'm just going home. I'm not playing this game anymore. I'm just going to go back home. So then crossing the Canadian border with a live birth record, no insurance, no driver's license, no license plate, nothing. And then a two-hour confrontation on the side of the highway with these guys. All they could do was tow my truck without issuing a notice of seizure, and I could have gone back, and they were willing to even leave it at the side of the road as long as I went and got insurance later that night. So it's not like they were literally attacking me and beating me and throwing me in jail for days on end. So No, I think we do our due diligence just fine. I don't think there's any proper amount of time. Well, maybe if I just did this. Well, maybe if I just did that. No, that's not the problem.
So, Dean, I have a question coming from Derek in the chat room. They want to ask you about common law defense in the Provincial Offenses Act, Section 80, for Ontario. Is that something that you can expand on?
I actually know nothing about that, but if it's in an act or a statute, you don't need it. If they acknowledge that there is common law defenses to things, that's great, but make sure you say in your own legislation, in your own laws, you recognize my rights, my already existing rights. You got to make sure you phrase things properly. And again, you'll probably notice for that cop there, I clearly stated that in their own Motor Vehicle Act, they acknowledge that non-residents only need to abide by the laws of the jurisdiction they're coming from. It says that right in every Highway Traffic Act and every Motor Vehicle Act across Canada. They have to put that in there. This stuff cannot be enforced against non-residents, people that are coming from outside their jurisdiction. And I made that very clear to him, and his opinion was that maybe that's nonsense. I don't know. So, but then this guy also hasn't read any laws. So,
right. The Bill of Rights is a U.S. Bill of Rights.
You know what? I can appreciate maybe the fact that he just hadn't got around to reading it yet. He didn't know we had one. He was unaware that we even have one.
Or
this
he could have been playing
cop.
Or maybe he did just plain ignorant.
No, that was not feigned ignorance. That was legit. He actually thought I was talking about the American Bill of Rights.
Yeah, he thought he had you.
What's that?
He thought he had you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I got you, buddy. That's American. Man. Okay, that's incompetence. Again, do you really think it's because we didn't send that last notice that this happens when you're talking to a guy that doesn't even know that the de facto government that he claims to represent has their own Bill of Rights? Now, I actually spoke about this with a couple of people, and I think it was one of those you know where you like to, sometimes when people find like a dead animal in the woods and they just got to poke it with a stick to see what happens. I think that's kind of what this was. They didn't want to damage me too much, so they didn't really arrest me. They just kind of, we just officer safety. Yeah, we just have to handcuff you here while we're waiting on the tow truck. And then I annoyed them so much. In the next hour, you'll hear all this. They actually uncuffed me and they're like, "You can leave. You can leave." I'm like, "Of course I can leave, but I'm leaving with my truck. You're not taking your truck." I said, "Oh, why? Do you own it?" Like, I'm just getting into it with them, and I really start to mock them and ridicule them to the point where they told me to start walking down the highway in the middle of the night, just so I would stop talking. So it's amusing. I actually can't wait for the next hour to come up. I laughed pretty hard when I listened to it again there last week. But that's all this is they, again, they didn't damage me too much, but they're just poking to see what you're going to do. Just poke him a little bit. See what he's going to do. So I think that's all that altercation was. But either way, you know what? I don't. When I used to go to the bar back in the day, and I was much tougher than I am now, I didn't go around poking people in the forehead just to see what they were going to do. You don't do that. You don't harm somebody just a little bit, harm their rights a little bit when you're supposed to be a peace officer, when you instigate the incident and harm them a little bit just to see what they're going to do. That's not supposed to be the country that we live in, whatever people want to believe that to be. So, again, this is no different than me putting lights on my car and yanking people over on the side of the highway and having drafted my own little piece of legislation that says, look here, yeah, I got the authority to pull you over and take your car. Okay? No, it's crap. It's nonsense. But they're going to test you.
Right.
More so because they want to see how bad you're going to make things for them. What are you going to do to them?
Since we're kind of talking about roadside statutes and their effect on us. Have you ever had any experience with the phrase "not for hire"?
That's actually right on my license plate. But that's irrelevant. Not for hire. Doesn't matter. I can be hired on the highway. People can pay me to transport things. I can be engaged in commerce on the roads. That's my right. Every time I fill up with a tank of gas, probably 70% of the price of that gas is taxes. So we pay for that. I have the right to use those roads because those roads belong to the people, all people, not just – actually, somebody posted about that on my Facebook today. Just a question. I think sometimes people like to see what my answers are going to be about, well, you know, what happens if you want to get out of society? What makes you think you still have the right to use the roads? And I don't think that's his stance. I think he just wanted to see what I said about that. And my answer was very simple. It says, well, it doesn't matter what society you belong to. It's still the property of the people. Genesis 1:26 was pretty firm on the matter. It was those public places are left to everybody. Everybody, doesn't matter who you are. Nobody has the authority to tell you how to use what you have the right to use. Not only that, how do you leave society?
Well, I know in the USA there's definitely plenty of court rulings defining the right to travel. But it's funny how that we've lost that right in spite of all those court rulings.
Well, geez, I mean, if I wanted to take case law around with me, which I don't, that's the whole point here. I don't want to have to take around a binder with me everywhere I go so I can walk every moron wearing a badge through what actual law is because their training was deficient and they may harm my rights. But really, just go read some American legislation, which does have standing here, I might add, because the Canada Corporation is a subsidiary of U.S. Corp. But the Chicago Motor Coach is one of the better ones out there. I've got pages and pages and pages and pages and pages and pages and pages, and pages, and pages of case law from the United States on the right to travel. It cannot be regulated. It cannot be abridged. It cannot be taken away. It cannot be made conditional. You cannot be. And if the cops are going to try to tell me that, whoa, yeah, but obviously not in a car. Oh, you guys want me walking down the middle of the highway, do you? Tell you what, not a problem. How about I walk to work from now on through the city of Winnipeg, and I will take up one lane of Portage Avenue in rush hour, and I will walk right down the center of that lane. I don't care how many people honk at me, and I'll have my lunchbox with me, and I'll just tell everybody, hey, sorry, man, the cops told me I have the right to use the roads, but not in a car, so I guess I'm walking on the highways. It's idiocy. Clearly, the highways were intended for cars. And they're ours. I don't know. How much case law do you guys want on this?
I've seen pages and pages of court rulings about the right to travel.
Yeah.
But you know, that's what we've always dealt with is that we trade that right for a privilege somewhere along the way. And when I was asking about the not for hire, there was actually a police officer who told someone in confidence that if somebody, when they're pulled over, if they say, I'm not for hire, they're supposed to let them go. Because apparently, at one point, the statutes were written with that that instruction, and they've since dropped it from the statutes.
Of course, so they always do alter them afterwards. Yeah, no, I not for hire is actually right on my license plate. That's one of the two things on it. I can't remember what the other one is, but not for hire is one of them. Actually, another thing I should mention here and specify real quick is that the charge they did end up bringing back was drive suspended. So you guys heard him actually say you have no license. But then when they came back with a charge, it was driving suspended, and they had a driver's license number on that charge from 7 years ago. 8 years ago. And I know it was from 8 years ago because the mailing address that they wrote down would have been from that license, which is a place I would not have lived for 8 years now.
So they were trying to base their action on a expired contract.
Yeah, exactly. And I get into that in the next hour with them, and I say, excuse me. I said, when actually brings it back, and I said, where did you get this information from? You fabricated this. Where did you get the information from? They don't want to talk about that, and I really get into it with them.
But how can
you fabricated this? That's fraud. You made this up.
How can they even expect us to hold in court, though?
What's that?
How can they even expect us to hold in court?
Well, if I agree to show up to provincial court, which is not provincial court, by the way, and I waive all deficiencies in whatever claim the Crown is going to prosecute against me, and I make general appearance, that's no longer an argument. It doesn't matter where they got the information. That's the whole trap with the court. That's why you can go argue that in court. Yeah, I know your guys' court. Yeah, no thanks. There is no law in that court. So why would I ever go there to argue this? Right? Just like that video I posted there from my job site the other day, where if they can convince enough idiots and give them guns and say, hey, don't worry about it, because when you drag them into our courts, we'll make sure that you're protected for doing things like fabricating charges. But boy, they didn't want to talk about where that information came from. It's not me. And you heard, did you guys hear in there when I said, well, it's my understanding that the driver's licenses are property of the province? And he says, that's right. And then I said, well, then even if I had one, it wouldn't be mine. And then he changed his answer. He said, well, that's semantics. I said, no, it's not semantics. You guys heard him say that because he realized I trapped him. Yep, they're property of the province. Oh, okay, so even if I did have one on me, it wouldn't be mine. It'd be the province. Well, that's just semantics. Really, that's just semantics. Why debate with a guy like this? Some of the questions I know, some of the statements on the chat window were right tonight. Drive away. I should have just driven away. I agree with that, except they might have tried to use that as an excuse to shoot me or something like that, fleeing the scene or some other fucking nonsense. You guys will love the second part though as well, because I even get into the cops there, where I tell them that what happens if I just arrested them right now, because I've got the same arrest powers that they have, and they agreed with me, said yeah you do. Technically speaking, I should place them all under arrest.
But you're not holding.
I know better for next time. That's exactly what I'm going to do.
But you're not holding a gun at your side.
Oh, no, you don't. Oh, no, you don't need a gun when you arrest somebody. In fact, what you do is you actually can tap them on the shoulder and just say, you're under arrest. Will you come with me peacefully? And if they don't, well, that's another charge. That's resisting arrest and fleeing custody. Are you going to come with me peacefully? If they leave, I don't need to shoot them. I'll just go to the magistrate and swear out more charges against them.
That was rhetorical, Dean, because you're trying to arrest a criminal who's holding a gun.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, question from the fan page. What about if you just said nothing to them, apart from asking their name and ID numbers and nothing more? Would this work?
No. I would say you'd want to be a little bit more crafty than that. Have your recording device with you and something. I obviously wanted to get a lot on these guys. I wanted a long recording, so I don't mind getting into it with these guys. For other people, there's a lot of approaches I kind of like the one where the guy down the States going across those Department of Homeland Security border crossings 50 kilometers in from the border or whatever. He does a take on that where they keep asking him if he's a U.S. citizen, and he just keeps saying, am I free to go? Am I free to go? Sir, are you a citizen? Am I free to go? Sir, are you a U.S. citizen? Am I free to go? Sir, are you a citizen? Am I free to go? Where are you coming from, sir? I don't know. Where are you coming from? Where are you going, sir? I don't know. Where are you going? Right? Just repeat their shit back to them. And just, am I free to go? Except you can expand on that a little bit up here in Canada and down the States, too. And you can say, excuse me. Said, do you believe I have or I am about to commit an indictable offense? And when they say no, say, well, have I breached the peace in some way? And they're going to say no. And you heard that guy tell me, no, I haven't breached the peace. Then you just say, well, then I'm leaving. Thanks, bye. No, wait, you can't leave. Oh, am I under arrest? They'll try to say you're being detained. And you say, that is arrest. Why have you arrested me? You're not under arrest. Oh, then I'm free to go? No, you're not free to go. Oh, I'm under arrest? What for? You're not under arrest. Oh, I'm free to go? Just do that with them until they just finally tell you to get out of there.
It's enough to make you start swearing.
Yeah.
Okay, another question from the chat room, this one. I'm confused about my relationship with the government. Are there two trustee beneficiary grantor trusts that we are wrapped up in? One under legal title, one under equitable title?
Holy crap. I don't even know if I'd want to try to filter through all that. I'm not sure why people are trying to complicate things. There's only there really is only one trust agreement, and that is the one that you granted. That's it. There is nothing more after that. I could get a lot more complicated. I'm not going to on the show. I'm sure we could probably get into something like that when we want to start getting more complicated with people when we're not on the show. But no, again, people are trying to overcomplicate things. Well, I'm the grantor of this, but they're the grantor of this, and because I'm in possession of that, that means I'm the trustee of this. I used to think that actually about a year and a half ago or 2 years ago now. I thought maybe that there was a secondary trust that was going on because we were still trying to figure everything out. And I realized what nonsense that was. I'm not in possession of anything that they created. And again, you got to remember the birth certificate is an extract of something else. That means that they hold the original of whatever that was an extract from, which I'm not in possession of anything. I'm just in possession of a receipt, if you want to call it that. A receipt for something that exists. And it doesn't matter. Anyways, even if they did send me back something that I'm in possession of, originally, it all came from me in the first place. I'm the original grantor. So you cannot give me something back to me that is mine in the first place, just convert it to something else and give it back to me and try to maintain some claim that you've now given me something of value. No, you gave me my thing back. It's just in a different form. Like if I gave you a $100 check, Tony, and you went to the bank and cashed it and then gave me $100 in cash back because you owed me $100. Because it wasn't anything you worked for. Like, I just gave you a $100 check to be trustee of, to hold in trust. So you went and put it in your bank account, and you're holding that money in trust now. And then you returned the $100 to me. Did you give me anything? No, it was my $100. It's just in a different form now. I'm not the signature of anything. Sorry, I'm not the trustee of anything. So that was... That was something I toyed with almost 2 years ago, I think, now that I've written off as nonsense. And again, people have to understand that probably about 2.5 years ago, that's when I stopped listening to about 98% of the horse shit on the internet and started doing just my own reasoning through all the problems that are going on right now. Most of this isn't even through research from statutes. It's just reasoning. That's the one thing they don't want you to use, your reasoning, your logic. See, does that make sense?
So, Dean, what advice would you give people when it comes to time to sign the ticket the officer hands you?
Oh, yeah, down in the States, you guys got to sign those, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to do that up here in Canada. Oh, boy, any number of things. They're forcing you to sign it. Without prejudice, people get that wrong. That's not what with prejudice doesn't mean that it's not a contract or you don't consent to it. That's nonsense. And when you put no consent, I mean, that's always a good one to kind of just put in there. I would highly suggest writing right on the ticket. Like, he's giving you the ticket to write on in a pen. Just start writing on it. I was told by this officer that if I did not sign this document, that he would kick my teeth in and arrest me and torture me. And then sign, but sign as grantor, qualifier signature. Sign as grantor and sole beneficiary. Because if you don't qualify it, then the claims that he made stand.
What about VC or putting a box around your name?
Yep, sure, put a box around your name, absolutely. That and circle, if you spelled your last name in all capital letters, circle that. And then put a little arrow to it and write, I am not an officer of your foreign corporation.
Okay.
Do it diagonally. I don't care. If he's trying to stop you from doing that, then give it all back to him and say, here, you sign the fucking thing then. If you're going to force me to sign it in a particular way, then you sign the fucking thing. Or take me to jail. You think I'm stupid? You think I'm going to allow you to force me to sign in a certain way? Yeah, this sounds legitimate. If you have to force me to sign in a certain way, this clearly sounds legitimate. Or, you're the trustee. You sign the stupid thing. I'm not qualified to sign that. That's another one, by the way. I'm not qualified to sign that. I have no idea what that is. I'm not even qualified to sign that. I'm not an officer of your foreign corporation. I am not qualified. I am unqualified to sign that. Basically, if you qualify your signature by putting grantor and sole beneficiary, you've disqualified yourself from being a party to that contract. That's what qualifying your signature does. Just think your way through the problems, people.
Okay, we're going to go to a live caller now. We have Corey on the line, and Corey has a question for you, Dean. Go ahead, Corey.
Hi, Dean. I'm calling from Virginia.
How's it going, Virginia?
Not too bad. I'm actually 21 years old, student at the University of Virginia, and one of the only Ron Paul fans here. And so I started, getting into the freedom movement just really recently. And I really admire all of your stuff because I feel like that's what, he was trying to tell us this whole time. He was like, you don't have to go through all this shit.
He's got to be politically correct because he's got to win an election.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like he would ever win it because they would probably just, issue an executive order to, dismantle his whole presidency probably. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, hey, you guys don't need to vote in the elections no more. I'll let you get to your question, but I seriously hope that you're spreading the word there that you guys can go back to the Republic and simply start filling the offices that are still there, right?
Yeah, exactly. I have two questions. I'll ask the one that pertains to the police officer thing first because Tony asked us to be on topic, but the other one I think is also really important. So, first one, can you please explain the dynamics of a bill of exchange? And so when we, say accepted for value or whatever on a speeding ticket or no consent, I'm not sure exactly. So I followed you the whole time about contracting, but in terms of a bill of exchange, how did the ticket become a bill of exchange?
The second signature, for one. That's why they really want you to sign that. Now, isn't it interesting that one of the criminal charges that I laid against these cops was fabricating a banknote. It's actually called likeness making and likeness of a note. And that was right in the right in the criminal code. Here's the interesting thing. It's all under the banking part of the criminal code there for charges for fraud and stuff to do with banking. And right in there, making and likeness of a note, there's a clause that exempts RCMP when they are performing their duties. Why are the RCMP exempt from making fake banknotes when they're on duty? Why is that even in there unless that's exactly what they're doing? So it is exactly what they're doing, but they're getting you to qualify it and make it a real note. Two-signature document, right? Two parties agree that the face value that's listed on there is exactly what it is, and then they're coming in and they're foreclosing on it, and you always wind up being the debtor. Accepted for value, I think a lot of people are wrong on what accepted for value does. They think it's discharging debt or something. I think if you go to the Law Society website, there's even an explanation of what acceptor for value is, because that is a commercial term. It's not you discharging the debt. For the people that have used that and the debt came back, like the balance came out zeroed out, there's a reason they did that. And the reason is because when you write acceptor for value on an instrument, and that's not complete yet, by the way. There's other stuff you got to write on there, but I'm not going to get into that right now. But accepted for value actually means it's a conditional acceptance. And when you write accepted for value on there, you are actually seizing the equity in that instrument. You're capturing it. And what you're putting the proof or the obligation on the other party to prove up their claim. So you got to make sure you keep whatever document that you sign with your original ink signature on it when you AFV something, and you got to qualify your signature in a proper way when you're doing this. Otherwise, they'll steal it back. You AFV it. You put the burden of proof on them. After 30 days, when you serve them of your reply, AFV, if they cannot prove up their claim, they owe you the face value of that instrument, and you can now foreclose on them. That's why this has had limited success with people, and some of their balances have been zeroed and gone away, because the people, the other party was hoping to hell you wouldn't know that you can now collect on the amount of money they were trying to get from you. You are now owed that amount of money. So they would rather take the loss. It's not a loss because they were never owed anything in the first place. They'd rather bugger off and zero the account than risk having to pay you what they were trying to get from you. So that's what AFV is. Everybody thinks it's discharging debt. It's not. They don't even know what it is. You can look up the definition on the friggin' Law Society website. It's not a big secret. Again, no one wants to read anything. So that's what those two are. And, yeah, that's all a banknote is. Again, promissory notes, a contract, anything that I sign. Like if I enter into a contract with somebody where I'm going to perform services and they're going to pay me a certain amount of money, that's a note. They promise to pay me on the condition that I do this work. That's all this stuff is. Just more complicated.
Okay. Okay, that makes sense. I'm going to have to listen to the recording again to hear some of the references you made, but I've listened to so many of your shows. You've made those references again, so I'll just go back and check that out. But the second question I'd like to ask, if it's okay with Tony, it's not exactly to do with the police officer thing, but it's of interest to those of us in the state. So I wanted to just get, you know, Tony's permission and also Dean's permission to ask this question.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, go ahead, Corey. Okay. Make it quick, please.
Okay, sounds good. So very fast, in the states, I'm also conceptually a little bit lost with regard to 14th Amendment citizenship. So if you're a 14th Amendment citizen, it appears that you have to abide by the rest of the amendments, or you have to abide by, I guess, all the statutes and all the, duties that being under contract with the government entails. But if you're a Fifth Amendment citizen or anything before that, what amendments do you follow? How do I find proof of this? I'm having trouble figuring out how to, you know, scout through all this shit on the internet that doesn't make any sense. And listening to you has cleared a lot of it up. Maybe you have some solutions for that.
Yeah, well, the great law book, if you want to go back to the source of your rights as recognized in either of those United States, just go pick yourself up a copy of the Bible and read it, right?
Okay.
And even Genesis 1:26 lays your rights out pretty clear. That's the first one you can go to. Your God-given rights are pretty well established, your unalienable rights. And you got to remember, the 14th Amendment citizen granted. So you got to remember, this is the government granting something to somebody now. It granted a status called a 14th Amendment citizen that had civil rights. That's what the civil rights movement was, remember? You know, yeah, everyone taking the streets, yeah, we demand our civil rights, we demand our civil rights. They're demanding a grant from the government. Okay, they weren't asking that their existing rights be respected. They were demanding that government bestow rights upon them. So in the real world, we call those privileges. And that's exactly what they did. They said, oh, okay, if you guys don't want to learn your rights and simply enforce them, Well, we got no problem granting you something we can take away at will without notice to you then. And that's where the civil rights movement came in, right? And that's why they always talk about civil rights in the states now.
Yeah, it's all nonsense.
That's like Napoleonic law, the same thing that the civil code, right? Criminal code of Canada. It's all civil procedure, civil code, all this fucking nonsense. It's crap. I don't care about it anymore at all. I don't even research that shit no more trying to find, because I don't care. I was born with these rights. Any idiot knows that. I was born equal to everybody else, which means my rights end where somebody else's rights begin. That's just common sense and logic. You don't even need to go to case law for that, even though the case law exists. But that's all the 14th Amendment citizen was. I said, oh, okay, well, if you want to be one of these persons, then civil rights apply, which, again, civil code. It's a granting from the government. It's a privilege that they can take away at any time. I don't think it's even necessary, like, to differentiate which type of citizen you are. Like, well, I'm a Fourth Amendment citizen or any of that kind of shit. Just say, look, say I'm one of the sovereign people of this land. That's
yeah,
it.
I mean, I remember you mentioning a couple of times that, you know, you should change your status or something, and that confused me a little bit, but really you don't even need to change your status. You just make the sovereign common law argument where you're functioning under God's law, which is all, I guess, in Genesis.
And you got to remember, nobody ever lost their sovereignty. It's not like you lose something. It's just that you're contracting away small parts of you. That's why I keep saying that the best way maybe to explain it. I'm always looking
exactly.
for new ways to explain it to people, because they either they hear it wrong, or they're not understanding what I'm trying to say and they kind of get it wrong. So I'm always trying to come up with new ways to explain things. It's just a small part of you. It's just like a little hair in your head, this little part of you that you contracted away in franchise kind of thing, right? Like I can give away is 1 hour of my labor. All of me, everything that I am is 1 hour of my labor. No, that's a very small part of me. I don't know how long I'm going to live, but however many hours I have on this earth are how many hours make up me, I guess you could say. So 1 hour of my time is just a small part of me. And that's all these things are. They're getting into these little contracts, and then they're getting us to believe that that's our entire world. Nothing else exists. When really it's just one very small little part of you, and your sovereignty never went away anywhere. It's still there. You can go back to it anytime you want.
Okay, Corey, I hope that answers your question. Sorry I had to end it right here for you. I put you on mute. Didn't mean to be rude, but there are some people behind you waiting in the queue. So do me a favor and press 1 on your dial pad to lower your hand. Our next caller goes by the name of BK from Brooklyn, New York, and he's got one or two questions for you, Dean. Go ahead, BK.
How you doing, Tony? How you doing, Dean?
Hey, good to talk to you.
All right, listen, I'm from Brooklyn, New York, and whatnot, and everything you talk about is very good because it's all on Canada. This all applies to Brooklyn, New York, to the five boroughs of New York. My question is that you was talking about the birth certificate as your bond and as your, like, insurance for your thing. How do you go by going down to motor vehicle and try to register your vehicle with a birth certificate? They will not give you no registration card or no nothing in motor vehicle. Can we enforce that?
Again, you got to remember, number one, you don't need to register with motor vehicle if you have a bill of sale and you want to take this approach. There's nothing to register with these people. You may want to send them down a copy of the bill of sale just to say, hey, I own this now. I'm going to give you the opportunity to update your records, but I bought this. I own this now. You don't need to register it.
Recording it as opposed to registering it?
Yeah, there you go. It's a recording. That's a recording that I own that now. So you've made it public knowledge. That's now yours. This applies everywhere. One of the great things is in their bid to make this new world order, this government, the one world government, every nation on this planet is structured in the same way, except for like the maybe three or four that they haven't annihilated yet that aren't working out so well for them right now. So it doesn't matter really where you are in the world right now. It's the same thing. If you have deposited a live birth record into these corporate governments and you were issued back a birth certificate, this applies to you.
Right.
and you don't need to register anything with these people. Again, we're only supposed to be giving them notice that we now own it. I could get a lot more complicated than that, but feel free to send them notice. Send the registrar notice that you own it now. That's
it. Now, the birth certificate, is the short form that they send you, or is the long form?
Well, the live birth record is long form. It's the one with your parents' signature on it.
Right. So I got to get a copy of that one?
That would be the document that, yeah, that document is proof that you granted something to the government.
That
you're basically the, you're the highest authority here because it all started with you. That's what that document, you have to know what that document is if you're going to go in and use it to argue anything in court. Just going around and waving it around doesn't work anymore. It used to because they were worried somebody might have actually figured it out. But now that everyone's doing it and they figured out that most people still don't know what it means, they're not so worried anymore. They're more cautious, but you have to know what it actually stands for. And same thing with the birth certificate. And the problem here is there's a lot of problems that we're having. Even just on Facebook today, I got a little belligerent this morning because apparently there's a new movement now that has discovered UCC filings. Okay, this is nothing new. 10 years ago, I knew people that were leaning their straw man with UCC filings. Okay. If you're out of the system, quit filing their horse shit. Stop it. If you're out, you want out, you want nothing more to do with this horse shit, then stop filing their paperwork because that's all internal paperwork. Registration documents. If they want a license plate on your car and they want it insured, then you tell them to fill out the paperwork, pay the premium, and send you the goddamn plate. But aside from that, there'll be nothing going on my fucking car.
Okay,
but you're welcome to fill out the forms, file it all, pay the premium, you send me the plate, and I will put it on the car. But it's with the understanding that I'm not subject to any statutes or legislation for having that on my car. In fact, you have to compensate me for me putting your advertisement on my car. If you want advertising space on my car, it's going to cost you no different than a billboard or a taxi. It's got a pizza or a Panago sign on it. Okay? Pay me. If you're going to trespass on my property, you're going to pay me. And me affixing your shit to my car that makes it look fucking uglier harms me, and you're going to pay me. But, don't talk to the people at the front counter, by the way, because you're going to run into people like we do up here, cops. I don't know what you're talking about because this wasn't mentioned in my 2-hour training that I took before I was given this job. Okay, they're stupid. They don't know what they're talking about. They're made intentionally stupid, so when people like you come in, they just go, "Sir, I don't know what I think you're confused, sir." Right? That's all you're going to get. So go straight to the top guy. Find out who's in charge. Send them your bill of sale. Say, I own this now. If you think it needs a license plate and registration, fill it all out and send me the plate paid for in advance.
Okay, so they don't send me the plate, so I'm going to have to do one of your numbers, huh?
Then I guess you don't need one. If they're not going to provide you with what they're claiming you need, then I guess you don't need one.
All right, so I got a good one. License plate number. Yeah, that's good for me.
Yeah. Like follow up with that thing and say, since you did not provide me with this alleged plate that you claim I need, I've made my own. And send in a photo of it because there's a lot of people driving around right now with their own license plates. Here's the identifying numbers. When you see this license plate, this means it's my property, and here's where you can contact me. And, oh, by the way, everything I do is bonded with this bond. And send them a copy of the birth certificate. And just say, here you go. Now you got my bond. So if I cause any problems on the highways and I kill somebody, they're covered.
Okay, that's good, man. Thanks a lot, Dean. I really covered it, man.
Thank you, BK.
Yeah, but be smart. Remember, everybody, be smart and only fight battles that are worth fighting. At this point, I think they're all worth fighting because I think they're trying to clamp down here because they realize the gig is up, and they're either going to lose power or they're going to go ahead with their whole little scheme. I don't know, but either way, they ain't getting another signed document out of me ever for the rest of my life.
Okay, thanks, BK. And do me a favor, press 1 on your dial pad again just so to lower your hand so we don't get you confused with the other callers. That would be great. Thanks. Okay, our next caller is Jerry from Minnesota who's got a question. Go ahead, Jerry.
Not
yeah, very
I can't
loudly. Well, I can't hear him. I can't hear him. It's very faint.
All right, I'm turning down my speakers here. Hopefully it'll adjust a little bit. How about now? Is it a little bit better?
That's better, yes. Go ahead.
Okay, let's try and stay on task here. I guess I got many questions. Thank you very much, both of you guys, for doing this and having a show weekly here. This is awesome. I'll stay on topic for the night. I guess I'm just wondering if I kind of heard you refer to it before being a win without doing a whole long story. I guess a week-long trial, traffic trial, I guess turned into after being jailed midway through everything, I didn't participate in the last part of the trial. She is coming in and trying to recognize my rights as I normally did entering the court or the ship or whatever. She ended up, first time the judge actually screamed at me this whole time. I've been kind of keeping things in line, I guess. It was first timer. I'm thick-headed, I guess, getting myself into some of these things. But it's all right. I'm kind of like Dean in that way. But at the end of the trial, long story short, after I went through a whole trial questioning the trooper and everything online, I know I shouldn't even went that far. I shouldn't have even went to court. It should have been taken care of ahead of time, but I did. Long story short, the last day of trial, I didn't participate because she threatened to hold me in contempt. Or told me I was being held under contempt, and I went back downstairs, sat in the jail, and they kept trying to come back and get me out, calling me by the corporation, you know, the last name. I didn't respond. They even came to the door with six, you know, threatening bailiffs or whatever at the time. I ended up hanging out in there. 3-4 hours go by. They finally come down with the papers, and this guy now refers to me as, I did file some paperwork again. I'm trying to trim this thing up, but he comes down and calls me by my first name. I thank him for it and, you know, went and looked at his paperwork. We said, you know, I got some good news and bad news. The bad news is you were found guilty and it was 3 charges, no insurance, driving after suspension, and no plates. And the original pullover was because of no plates, and a whole videography on my end, too, goes with that first pullover. But anyways, the 3 charges were, you know, as I listed. The first one was the no plates, which was failed, and they stayed like, you know, again, I went back downstairs. I thought I was in there for the 90 days for each one. It was $1,000 for each offense. I just kind of, it's been in my mind that I was staying down there. Anyways, the no plates one failed for some reason, or the judge failed that one, and that's where all the, it was only a $50 fine for that offense. That one was stayed for a year, no same or similar. And 90 days in jail, but it was all stayed if that one actually was a found guilty, but it failed. So then the other two were found guilty, but there was no fine. And I was released out of jail faster than I've ever been released out of jail before. And, I mean, 15, 20 minutes went by, and they shot me out the door. And I figure after a week and a half long trial of, you know, going, raking them through the coals and many, many details go with it, but is that, you know, is that a win is my question, I guess, to now file an appeal and follow up on this whole thing?
I wouldn't bother with an appeal, and absolutely that's a win, because they only could try to get $50 out of you in the end instead of holding you. I don't think they figured out they probably weren't going to be able to intimidate you. They had to find you guilty, number one, because you were guilty of the facts. Were you driving? Did you have no insurance?
I didn't even answer the question to the cops at the time.
Okay, well, then their evidence stands. You didn't have insurance. You're guilty of the facts. Are you talking on the phone right now?
Yeah.
If I charge you with speaking on the phone right now, are you guilty of the facts?
Yeah.
Was a crime committed?
I guess no crime, but as far as their statutes and codes or what they were able to prove in court, pinning me to that, you know, I was there. I did have an encounter with this officer, but, you know, it was a fun trial. It was an excellent learning process and the worst and best week and a half of my life, I guess.
Good. You'll do better next time. Don't waste your time appealing that decision. Go straight to civil court. Go straight to whatever they have in the states there for civil court and sue the officer personally. That's a court of a different jurisdiction. Their conviction in the lower court has nothing to do with that court. They can't even see it.
Really?
It means
so I don't need an appeal in order to file a civil claim then.
Okay, if I dragged you into my basement and beat you for a week and threw you in prison underneath my stairs and then dragged you out every once in a while and had a guy in a robe sitting in a chair and held a mock trial where I convicted you to try to justify our actions against you, would that mean you can't then go and sue me? Would my defense be, well, we held a trial in my basement, we even had a guy convict him, so obviously we were well within our right to do it. No, you go to a higher court where they can't use that as a defense, right? That's a military tribunal. You're not in the military, but they dragged you in there and they convicted you in a military tribunal anyways. Well, that's not going to be a defense when you take them to your court.
Yeah. They are well aware of my fee schedule. I mean, even the first encounter of being pulled over, was informed of my fee schedule, operated under duress. I know my flaw now where I, under duress, I did actually have the commercial license on me. It was my only form of ID at that time, or the only picture one, but I ended up under duress giving it to him. But he was made aware of my fee schedule at that time of pullover, and all through even the court process.
Wonderful. Serve him with an affidavit of everything, the cop, and give him 30 days to respond to it. When he doesn't, write up almost like a commercial claim style. And when he doesn't, take it straight to summary judgment. Go and file a statement of claim in a superior court, county court, I guess, and move right for summary judgment. And then after you get summary judgment, go back for an order to pay.
Yeah, and I'm aware of this, even if I don't get paid, turn it into an asset or something later on.
You'll get paid.
What's that?
You'll get paid.
It's big. I mean, I ended up, again, beginner, I rattled off too much of the amount on the side of the road with the cop, but I even made the clerk and everything aware. I've never said the amount, but you could see the pressure in them folding and sweating. It was definitely a chess game, poker game. One thing I do want to mention to people is I was fighting this thing. They kept, dragging out. They never gave me due process. They kept skipping right over, like you said. They were trying to, skip over it and go into the, say it was trial the next year. This is pre-trial the next day. I'd go there expecting it to be pre-trial, and then they would tell me, nope, we're scheduling pre-trial for tomorrow. And here I'm asking for due process. They couldn't get liability on me, everything. But finally the third day, on like a Wednesday, I went in there, and I thought it went well the day before, and all of a sudden my name wasn't on the docket. And these are computerized dockets, downtown government center, where, they're every day my name's on the docket. I go in that Wednesday morning, my name's not on the docket, so I kind of thought they were having an off-the-record hearing, just sitting there waiting for me to participate and show up there. So I never went upstairs. I kind of hung around, and I was trying to, figure things out and talk to study buddies at the same time, and it ended up being hanging around there for a couple hours, and I even seen some of the jurors and, walking around down there.
It's all crap. What they were doing, they kept holding show cause hearings because they couldn't get jurisdiction over you. They couldn't get jurisdiction. They couldn't get you to waive the deficiencies in the claim. They couldn't get you to accept procedure. They had to keep holding show cause hearings. They never did get jurisdiction. And that's where everything fell apart anyway. So, you're just going to do better next time, so keep it up. And make sure you go collect on this, though. Take them into court. Make them scared.
Is that something they do, though, regularly? Wilson, I'm just not on the docket. I even called in, and they were trying to get my name, so I hung up. But they don't have me on the docket. It wasn't even on there, so why go up if I'm not?
Dude, we've had them hold fake hearings. I'm not kidding. Little towns in the middle of nowhere where they have circuit court once a week. It was on a wrong day. There was no court even that day. But they set up the courtroom and had somebody come sit on the bench to pretend like they were having court. But there was no court there that day. You wouldn't believe the lengths they'll go to make you believe that you're in a real courtroom. And you're not.
Oh, yeah. They don't want the jury to know that you're in custody at the time either. They play that off. They're little...
It's all nonsense. They need you to believe it. It's a play being put on. Shakespeare, 101, it is a play. They're actors. It's a play. The whole point is to make you believe that there's a real thing going on here, and there isn't. It's up to you to call bullshit and say, you people are on fucking crack. This is not court. There's no injured party. This is a mock hearing. This is a kangaroo court. What makes you think I would actually participate in this, other than the fact you're going to kick my face in if I don't? Talk like that.
It's the truth.
I realized that firsthand after they had me in custody. It took me like the next day. I'm sitting there watching it all go down, and I finally said, I had enough of this. And I stood up and I called them out on all their fraud. I said, there's bad faith going on. You're talking about signals from the prosecuting attorney to the judge. She's referring to the signaling that she's supposed to be doing. I realized there's bad faith going on, and I'm holding you all liable. I'm not partaking in this fraud. And I got to clear the whole courtroom. They popped out of there like popcorn. But again, this is my first time, and I kind of made some errors. And here's one of the big ones I get.
Okay, he got dropped off there. He got disconnected.
Nope. Okay.
All right. Well, we lost another caller, too. There was another caller in queue for another question, but he got dropped off as well. So I'm going to go to a question from the chat room. It wasn't relating to today's topic, but I have no more question related to that. Before I do, I want to remind our listeners that we have 14 minutes and a half left of today's show. At the top of the hour, the stream will be cut. In the event that we go over, if you wish to continue to hear this live, you need to call in to the show before the live stream cuts. Once the live stream stops, you can no longer call in. Okay? Then the number to call in will be 646-478-5728. Okay, this is a question from the chat room from Nora. Should we be filing affidavits? From my understanding is that affidavits are what corporations file. Would affirmations be the right term to use, or should it be called will? Don't corporations submit affidavits?
I've never seen a corporation submit an affidavit in my life. An affidavit needs somebody to swear to it. That's exactly what corporations can never file, is an affidavit. In fact, the entire point of hiring a lawyer, lawyers are basically instructed to never allow affidavits to be filed into the court. They want everything to be left open to the interpretation of the court. And if you file an affidavit, that means that somebody has to rebut that by affidavit or deny it. Something's sworn, and now you have facts in the court file. They never want that. They never want that ever. So I got no problem with the word affidavit. Some people want to use an affirmation, or then there's asseveration, I think, asseveration or something like that. It's mincing words. That is semantics. I don't care. On that document, did I say that as God is my witness, I claim the following to be true to the best and the belief of my knowledge, so help me God? And then state the facts that happened as you remember them. Okay, that's not hard to do. You're not violating scripture. You're not, like, people are getting too worried about the details, this kind of stuff. But no, I don't think an affidavit, what you call it, matters all that much. Again, somebody will point to a definition somewhere where it says something about an affidavit that could be construed in a negative light. Well, good for them. For whoever wrote that definition. That's not the definition I use. That's in the dictionary of Dean. So just let them know what the definition is. This is what my definition of that word is. If you have a different one, well, good for you. That's binding on you, not me. So if whatever you're more comfortable with, if you don't want to call in an affidavit, and you don't want to swear because the Bible says not to swear, or it says not to make oaths or whatever, then phrase it in a way where you're not using any of those words, right? But corporations can never file any of those things because it requires the person making the oath that they're telling the truth to actually sign it. No corporation can swear out an affidavit. That's impossible. It would be an officer of a corporation doing that. And even then, he'd only be able to state facts as he knows them, with first-hand knowledge.
Okay, thank you for that answer, Dean. Dell, do you have any other questions?
Well, I'm looking at a question in the chat room, and I think essentially what they're asking is, this process that we're going, where we're rebutting the presumptions, is this something along the line of establishing ourselves as a diplomat status?
Well, all diplomats are foreign to the jurisdiction that is trying to that they're claimed to be in, right? If you're a diplomat, you're from a foreign jurisdiction. And this is where it gets mind-twisting and why people have trouble with it. People don't seem to be able to properly comprehend that the corporation government, the government U.S. Corp., USA Corp., is a foreign entity to this land. It is foreign, which means that for us to be one of the people of this land, you have to be foreign to it. We are foreign to it. We are diplomats, if you want to call it that. We do have diplomatic immunity, because if you're foreign to that jurisdiction, then that jurisdiction has absolutely no authority over you. That's what diplomatic immunity is. Right? Same thing in Canada. Canada Corp., foreign de facto administration. Not only is it foreign, it's de facto. So if you are a resident of a foreign de facto administration, then you are a foreigner. You are not one of the people of this land with rights, unalienable rights. You must be an officer of that corporation because you're a resident of it. And remember, they have incorporated federal versions of everything. Everything has been federally incorporated, a different version of it. That's why I say there's different provinces, there's a different Canada, there's different everything. Because they have incorporated federal versions of everything. So it mimics what you think is real, but it's not. Separate fact from fiction. That's one of the big things people are challenged with here in this movement. So, hope that answers that.
Yeah, it's kind of part of the challenge is trying to figure out how to identify yourself or characterize yourself, and that's part of the challenge, I guess.
Yep. Well, and a way to get rid of the confusion on that is to say, look, I don't even know what I am fully. I mean, how could I? Only my creator really knows me, all of me. I know a little bit about what I am, but here's what I do know. I'm nothing to do with you.
Right.
Right? Here's what I may not know entirely what I am, but if there's one thing I am certain is that I am nothing to do with you. That's simple truth. That's why they're so terrified of logic and truth. That's a simple truth. How do you overcome that?
Rebut the presumption.
Yeah. They're just operating on presumptions. Exactly. You don't need to know what those presumptions are to rebut them.
Okay, this is for Mark. Mark, you sent me an email asking for Dean's Facebook page. Dean does not have a Facebook page, not that I know of. He has a profile, and I'm not at liberty to give it out. There's two ways you can reach Dean. You can join the Global Fact group, which Dean is a member of, and if you post there and use his name, he would automatically be notified that you're talking to him. The better way to reach him is to go to deanclifford.info, join the forum, and you can ask him questions on the forum. Is that right, Dean? Is that how it's done?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I usually just tend to add anybody who does end up finding me on Facebook. I don't really consider it a private profile anymore. I just use it to kind of rant and be belligerent at times. I can't answer all the mail I get on there. No, I haven't maxed it out. Nora was asking there. I was over at 1,500 friends there at one point kind of thing, and I was trying to be choosy and kind of scoping out people's profiles to see if they had zero friends, meaning that, like, something was just created by a cop to go on there and read whatever I'm doing. I deleted like 700 people just this last spring, I think, or no, in the fall, just because half the accounts were inactive, and I've just been adding people again. I'm over 1,000, I think, again now. It's not a good place to try to get a hold of me to ask questions, because all I do is I see my inbox with like 80 emails, and I just don't check any of it. It's impossible. I can't. And still function and have a life and eat and breathe and go to work and even be able to do more my stuff. So,
Okay, so I posted the two links that are in the chat room for you, Mark. There's a Global Fact Face group, which you can join that, and you can reach me in that way, and there's also the DeanClifford.info. They're both there. Okay, there is a question from the chat room that came in. I don't know if you got it, Dell, or not, but I picked it up here. He says, what is it? What can I do if I was in court for summary judgment and the plaintiff did not respond to my reply affidavit and it's been 2 months? Can I go for default judgment on the plaintiff?
Well, okay, say that over again.
What can I do if I was in court for summary judgment and the plaintiff did not respond to my reply affidavit and it's been 2 months? It's been 2 months. Can I go for default judgment on the plaintiff?
Well, yeah, if you're the defendant and the plaintiff is not motioning the court forward and they're not responding to your affidavit and your demand for maybe particulars or your demand that they produce something, you should be motioning the court to strike their claim from the record and then give your reasons. To say, well, they're not responding. They're the plaintiff. They brought me to court. So I filed an affidavit and served them with it, and they're not responding. Now they're not responding. They're the plaintiff. They brought the claim, and now they're not responding? Obviously, this is frivolous and vexatious. They can't even respond to an affidavit. I want you to strike their claim from the record. You can motion the court to do that. They probably grant it.
All right. Another question from the email. If a driver's license expires, is that the end of a contract? That's question one. And question two, is the self-characterization to be a private individual?
I'm not sure if I understood the second part. The first part, absolutely. Once it expires, it's done. That's closed. The escrow is closed and it's done. It's over.
Okay, I don't understand the second one either, but I'll read
it. Say it again.
Is the self-characterization to be a private individual?
Yes. Yes, I think I understand what they're saying there. Is that what you want to characterize yourself as? Absolutely, a private individual. Yeah, in fact, I don't even need to elaborate what I am, because that's private. In fact, it's one of the two words that make up private individual. So that's simple enough. And yes, Martin.
Okay, so we're now coming up to nearing the end of the show. We've got 2 minutes left. Remember, people, that if you want to continue with the show, there's three callers in the queue right now for questions, and that's all of me. The questions are going to be taken for tonight. But if you want to continue, you need to dial into the show. Once the top of the hour comes around, the stream will be cut, and you can't dial in anymore. Before you all go, and before the stream ends, I want to give you a quick announcement about Lovey Critch, which is a lady I mentioned, I believe, last episode or the one before. She's the accountant who supposedly has documentation and proof that the Income Tax Act in Canada was not legislated. I met with her 2 days ago, and we are tentatively booked for February, either one of the last two Sundays in February for her to appear on the show. It won't be this the How to with Dean Clifford, obviously. It would be our Conscious Living show, which airs every Sunday at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. I'll be posting information about that on the Global Fact fan page anyway. But somebody asked me when is she going to be coming on, and that's the answer to that. Okay, going to a live caller. Area code 780, ending 7677. Your name, where are you calling from, please?
Gerald Laird.
Gerald,
Where
are you at, Gerald? Yeah, where are you at?
I'm in Rocky Mountain. I was right at the moment.
All right. Do you have a question for Dean? Go ahead.
Yeah, like you were talking about being pulled over and stuff. I got pulled over last fall. A year ago last fall, and the police officer came up to me and he asked me, he said, I asked him what the problem was, and he said, the person who owns this vehicle doesn't have a driver's license. Kind of chuckled to myself or whatever, and I pulled out my driver's license and gave it to him. And he looked at it and he laughed. And he comes back to the vehicle and he said, "You don't have a driver's license." Well, I was getting a little perturbed at that time, and he said, "Well," I said, "I just gave you my driver's license. I wasn't nice about it or whatever." But he said, "No, maintenance enforcement decided that, or they had your license suspended or whatever." Well, I said, "That's nice for somebody to tell me." And, like, nobody gave me notice or anything. And, like, on the side of the road, then he said, "Well, you have to get out of your vehicle. I'm taking your seizing your vehicle for 30 days. And I refused right then. And 6 cops later, and I got a hold of my son, came over, and he picked me up. But every time I moved, like, I finally did get out of the vehicle, but every time I moved, those guys had their hands on their sidearms. And it was a bunch of tickets. He tried to give me a bunch of tickets. I refused to take them from him or whatever. And he put them on the... when I got my son's SUV, the cop opened the door and he threw them on the dash and he tried to close the door and I opened the door. Well, he didn't close. I just put my arm up and pushed them all out. Hello?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay. Well, I just thought I lost you.
Yep, no problem.
No, like they took my truck for 30 days and... like my driver's license, so I've been driving ever since without a license, because as far as I'm concerned, like whatever went on, like in my divorce or whatever, like that's another story. Like that, the fact of court in New Brunswick, that's just totally brain. That's
yep,
that's another story altogether.
And they just, that was like a birthday gift to you to take your license, or sorry, to take their license.
Well,
back.
Yeah,
you don't need it.
Well, they
and
have.
That's actually that. I think it's all going to start biting them in the ass pretty soon when they've pushed people around so much and they've made this whole licensing thing such a pain. Like you have to fight to keep this document to be able to have authorization to be on the roads, and now maintenance enforcement can take it for any reason. And you know you got to go and pay thousands and thousands of dollars back to fight to get something that the province owns back so you can access the roads. It's fucking ludicrous. People are just finally having enough. They're saying, fuck, I don't care anymore. I'm just going to drive without a license. I don't care.
Well, this is it. And then, like a year later, maintenance enforcement sends me a letter saying that if I comply with them now, they'll give me my driver's license back. Well, what the
you
hell
them,
do
you,
I want
did,
it for?
Did you mail them back and tell them to shove their license up their ass?
Well, no, I never. I was thinking about going down and visiting them, though.
Yeah. I suggest doing a. I suggest a letter like that. Say, take your license
yeah.
and shove it up your ass. I don't need it because I have an inherent right to travel. Come and enforce that, dickhead.
Yeah.
No, but don't. Or do it. It's always fun. It's actually great to get this stuff off your chest, by the way.
I've
let them know
the
you
fun.
Don't fear them anymore.
Yeah. Well, I don't fear none of them anymore. It just
yep.
I just get more pissed off than anything.
Good.
But
boy, we sure are terrifying that they need to have their hands on their guns and everything, eh? And unarmed people speaking logic. Isn't that terrifying?
Well, I'm a pretty big boy. Like, I'm 6'3", 285 pounds, eh?
Yeah.
Usually I'm not really that fat. I'm just big, eh?
Yeah. But you got to remember, they initiated the contact. They initiated the altercation with you. And then they're the ones worried for their safety. It's like, dude, you just broke into my house, and you're worried about your
yeah.
safety? Everybody's got to remember that's what's going on. Your car, your property, anything that you own is an extension of you. If they trespass against your car, they've trespassed on your property. That's a trespass on you personally because it's just an extension of
yeah.
you. Your body is property. Just people take it more personally when it's their body. But their car is no different from their body. It's all things that you own and have the right to use. Okay?
Yeah.
But congratulations
I heard
on,
you were
on not caring about not having a license anymore.
I don't give a fuck anymore. But on another note, where your brother was sending mail to the courts or whatever, I did go to court over my free man stuff, and the judge decided with some fucking, what the hell was it, Alberta Rules of Court, I can't remember what number it is, but you have to have the judge's permission to send stuff in with registered mail, like. Right?
Yep.
And that's under the Alberta
really,
Rules of Court.
Are you, yeah, the judge's permission, eh? Yeah, like he
yeah,
can prevent me from filing. Like he can prevent me from filing something to my defense. Are you? I would laugh at that if they try. They actually did try to tell me that one time. That was one of the first times last fall I went down there when I was filing documents for my brother there when I was down in the courthouse. And well, sir, you have to go to court and there has to be a hearing and you got to go before a judge and you have to ask him this and you have to ask him that. And I said, no, I don't, dude. I said, I am the judge. I don't ask your idiot judges for anything. Well, it turned out I was right.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But that was another thing. Like I was looking into like the stuff you were saying about, you know, like the different laws and stuff. How come stuff was going back to the Northwest Territories and that? Well, I did a little bit of research on Alberta and Saskatchewan. Well, they were created by an act in 1905. Then Queen Elizabeth, when she died in 1901, that would left everything back to the people of Canada. So all this land down here is still part of the Northwest Territories. And all the courts and stuff that were in place before Alberta became an act, or before Alberta became a province, all them courts still stayed in place, eh? All that stuff still stayed in place.
Yeah. They were just abandoned, and a new corporation took them over. New management, under new management. They forgot to hang the sign out front that says under new management. The provinces.
But everything that was there before is still there, right?
Yeah, the provinces are commercial zones that overlap everything. Underneath that is still just the territory. And even underneath the territory, before the Europeans came over and mapped out everything and said, oh, well, there was no map of it. I mapped it. Therefore, it's mine now because I made a map of it. Now it can be proven, you know. You can go back to the jurisdictions.
Why does the territories have no court of Queen's Bench, and why does the Northwest Territories have a court of Supreme Court?
Shit, I wish I knew, actually.
That's a good question. That's what's bothering me, eh? Why,
yeah.
You know, like, the Northwest Territories don't have court of Queen's Bench. They have territorial courts, and then they have an appeal court, plus they have a Supreme Court.
Which tells you it's all just jurisdiction. That's all these courts. That's all these things are. They're all renting court space out of these courts. Provincial court is just a... Oh, my God, don't even get me started on what provincial court is. It's certainly not what most people think it is, but it's complete
No,
garbage.
No, it's a...
But it's all commercial zones. Again, are you a resident?
Yeah.
That's what they're... Are you a resident? Period. As soon as you reside in that jurisdiction, bam.
I withdrew consent a year ago.
Yep, good.
Okay,
but they're always trying to manufacture it. You got to remember that. I can say I don't consent all I want, but if I keep stucco in your house for free, I guess my intent was to actually do it.
Okay, guys, we're going to move on to the next caller, please.
Okay, talk to you later.
Okay, if you don't, do me a favor and press 1 again on your dial pad to lower your hand. Thank you. Right, the next caller is Danielle from Quebec. You're live, Danielle.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Thank you. Good night, Dean. Just a quick comment. I appreciate really your 12 minutes on your past encounter with the police on the road. I find it an excellent teaching in real time, and I wish that in the future we can have some kind of those audio or maybe a video that illustrate what's happening in the court when you are there to defend and taking your position and affirmation. So that was my commentary. The second, my two short questions. Do you know if in Quebec you are aware of a support group or a study group that I can join? Because like you said, if in the future I decide to go forward and use the knowledge that we are acquiring listening to you and taking note on your video and all the stuff that you're presenting to us, it's a good thing to have a support group, especially in Quebec, because everything is in English and we have to find the correct translation. And the question that followed this one, since the Black Law Dictionary, it's a very important piece of reference and it is in English, are you aware that there is a French version of the Black Law Dictionary?
I don't know if there is or not, actually. I don't know if it's been translated. Yeah,
okay.
Unfortunately.
So are you aware that there is a group in Quebec that is picking up your work and trying to exchange experience and kind of growing in the sense that acquiring information and transferring experience on the ground?
Yeah, well, there must be. I mean, one of the seminars that I did there was in Aylmer, there across the river from Ottawa in Gatineau. And that's where Darren is from. On the forum, we have Pierre, who's on the forum. He's another Quebecer, and I'm certain there's a few others on there as well. I don't know of any actual particular groups. It's going to be for people to start to organize those. But if you're not on the forum yet, I suggest getting on there because you can start to coordinate with people that have joined that are from Quebec and start talking about this kind of stuff. So between what Tony and I want to launch here right away and DeanClifford.info, we should be able to get people to start grouping together for support groups, absolutely. And
Dean,
if there isn't one yet, start one.
Dean, what I was thinking there, maybe we should get in touch with that person in Quebec and see if we can coordinate for him to handle maybe the translation of what FU is going to be doing for the Quebec people.
Yeah, if you want him to contact you after the show or send you a message to contact him afterwards, perfect.
Danielle, if you can have the person that you're talking about in Quebec, have him email me at tony@globalfact2012. I'll put the actual email address on the chat room. All right? So do you have any other questions,
Okay, thank
Danielle?
You very much. No, it's okay. And Dean, continue. In spite of a new government twist to try to change mind of people that the reality is not what it's being put in front of us, but it's a lot different, and we have to study and realize what we are in spite of what they tell us that we are in their eyes. So, okay, folks, so thank you for the answer, and I will get to you through the forum.
Yeah,
okay.
Glad you appreciate it all.
Danielle, before you go...
Okay, bye-bye.
Danielle, hold on a second.
Yep.
Before you go, what is the name of the person who's handling the group in Quebec? Do you know his name?
Well, Dean said...
I think he was asking if there is a group. He's looking for one.
Oh,
yes.
There's a group. I see.
Yes.
Okay. I misunderstood. Sorry. Okay, thanks a lot, Danielle.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Oh, there we go. Somebody mentioned Eternally Aware. Actually, I didn't know he was from Quebec. That's great. I really enjoy his stuff, actually. It's very on par with everything I'm doing. So.
Okay, and we have Phil Ward, who's back with us again. Nice to have you back again, Phil.
Thanks, Tony, man. Good to talk to you guys tonight. Hey, I'm more than anything, man, I wanted to ask you a couple questions. Dean, I had talked to Tony earlier in the week, and I had listened to last week's recording several times, and I was actually the caller that called in and asked you the question that you couldn't answer. But anyways, that's beside the point. I had confirmed with him that it was my name suggestion, the FU. And,
yeah,
man, I was excited that you guys chose that as a name, man. It, you know, freedom is really what this is about in essence, and it was cool to hear you chose that name. But I kind of had a question as to how this can affect us down here in the States, or do I need to move up where you're at to go to FU?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, absolutely not. This is going to be non-geographically based. I see it being worldwide, especially because of what I talked about earlier. This whole system has been made the same everywhere. So every IMF nation that issues birth certificates, this applies. It applies to all of those places because this is all the same scam. It's you notice how the war on terror right now is the United States bringing democracy to the world? Well, they're bringing their corporate democracy structure to the world. That's why every time they go and they overthrow a government, a new one that's modeled after theirs is installed immediately. You notice that? So right. That's what's going on there. You can now count Libya as the most recent country that this stuff applies in. Because that's the first thing that that new government did was started a Federal Reserve Bank. And all the same shit started there, right? So that's all this is this bringing democracy scam. It's bringing their corporate democracy where no one has rights. And so this applies everywhere. No, it's non-geographically based. In fact, we prefer you stay where you are. We don't want people grouping somewhere where a predator drone can come and take us all out in one location.
Don't get me wrong.
Everywhere. Be as spread out as possible, please.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. There's no way I'm moving to Canada. It's way too cold there. I live in sunny Florida, and I have
good.
No.
You could probably get a group going down there then, and start getting everybody educated down there. Start raising awareness. Yeah. That's exactly what we need.
We are. We've been meeting down here, and not specifically sharing the ideas that I'm learning from you, but just freedom in general, and exactly who we are in relation to our country, but. You alluded to or said that, you know, there would be things that you would teach that you didn't want to teach. You didn't want to have full disclosure on a phone conversation when it was in public, but you would do it in private. And I'm wondering, is that something that you're going to do just through videos and conversations online through the FU University website? Or
yeah, I think if we develop the platform, that's how we're going to distribute this stuff. And yeah, I plan on getting more in depth and things that I would not want to talk about comfortably on a radio show.
Sure.
There's no question.
As for the media we're going to be using for the information, it's going to be a combination of web pages, audio, and video. For the FU lesson plans are going to be. Put together here by Dean and his assistant.
Perfect, perfect. Well, Dean and Tony, if you ever got... Tony, I don't know. I have not exactly heard you say where you're from. You're from Canada also?
Yeah, I'm in Vancouver on the West Coast.
Okay, cool.
Well, it's official,
Phil. Well,
it's official now because last week when we mentioned about FU... I had said on the air that I didn't quite remember who was the name of the person that gave me that name. So now it's official. Everybody knows. It's on record. So, Phil Ward, thank you very much for bringing that name to us. And I think it's an awesome name for the project.
I'm glad that I could play any part in it, and I hope I get to play a bigger part in it as it spreads down here. Because, you know, the people of this country were born with our parents telling us that we were free. And even though, indeed, we weren't, we were still all born with the understanding that we were. So as people wake up down here, we're getting even more pissed off that we've been living a lie this entire time, believing that we were free, and indeed we weren't. And that is going to bring fury from the people down here, and it's going to be exciting because we're going to take it back.
Okay.
Yeah, well, it's true. You were born free, but then you got... You got deceived into contracting with these idiots. That's where it
sure,
all started. Yeah, people are
going
to be mad as hell when they wake up and realize that they've always been free, but they've been willfully deceived by these agencies of a foreign government.
Yeah. Hey, I want to say one more thing to anybody out there listening, man. I've been on my wife now for about a year trying to wake her up to this whole thing. And just out of the blue, if you just keep dropping subtle hints, and you know your spouse, you know how to communicate to them, drop subtle hints. Man, about 2 or 3 weeks ago, my wife came to me with almost like this realization, and she awoke all at one time, man, and it is just on. Our whole family is on fire, and we're spreading the message just like fire. So.
Ooh, did she have an epiphany?
I love
those. I've had like 3 quantifiable like epiphanies now where like that whole wave washes over you. We just go, holy fuck.
And you just
became something you weren't a second ago.
Yep. I came home that day and she looked like she had seen a ghost. And it was just that realization had set in that this is serious. And that if we don't arm ourselves with knowledge and we're not unabashed in the way that we handle this, that we will never be free. But if we do it, freedom is just around the corner. So, it's very encouraging.
No, that's awesome. Well, tell her welcome aboard from me.
And for me.
All right. Well, you guys keep up the fight. We love it.
Okay, Phil. Right. Thank you very much. Do me a favor, press 1 on your dial pad.
Thanks, bud.
All right, bye.
Okay, two last callers. One from Scott from Pincher Creek, Alberta. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, Dean. How are you?
Very good. Yourself?
I'm doing good. How is stucco in the cold, man?
Well, I don't tend to stucco in the cold. It's an example I use all the time. I actually can't stand doing stucco, but I am framing, and it's warmer this week. It was minus 40 all last week, and it was like minus 7 today or minus 8, so that was a lot better. I got a lot more done today.
Well, that's cool. Excellent. So you're still out doing that all the time for the most part.
Absolutely. Right? See, that's I do that full time. I've got other projects on the go. I race home to get on the radio, and then when I'm done this, I do consulting on the side with limited amount of people. Then I got my own lawsuits to do. I don't sleep. I rarely eat, and I don't have a social life.
You don't have a social life, and my girlfriend doesn't like me anymore.
Yeah.
Hey, you know. I'm not going to bullshit around here about it much here, but I did some work for a guy, and you're a contractor. You can kind of put a grip on this, you know, like throwing some mud on the house, and the guy says, well, I don't like it. It's too much money. I'm not going to pay you, and I'm going to take and charge you with fraud or make allegations against you, you know, so the cops are going to come and see you and say, you know, like you don't have to pay for this bullshit because you don't like it, so on and so forth. But anyway, the short and the long of it is I did some work on a UTV, a little Chinese thing. Don't buy one of those. And, you know, the bill got pretty high. Guy bitched and complained with the cops. He says, you know, I don't want to pay for this. I think the guy's playing fraud with me. Cop and I had a good talk. And he went away and said, yeah, like, there's no intent here. But, you know, you got to give this guy stuff back. And I said, well, bullshit, you know. I think he can have it back when he, you know, counter-offers me and, you know, we'll come up to, you know, some kind of agreement. And I'll take a bite, he takes a bite, and let's get rid of this, right?
Yep.
So I go put a possessory lien on it. Actually, I had counsel put a possessory lien on it, file with stupid-ass thing. I probably could have done it myself. I don't know if it was laziness or just not understanding how to get it done. But at any rate, the time frame is gone on it now. It's time to go forward with it. And I talked to counsel and says, you know, like, okay, what are we going to do? She says, well, you know, I think we should put a garage lien on it now. And she threw a bunch of numbers at me, what the bailiff's going to charge to seize this thing. You know, I'm going, whoa, like, just put the brakes on for a minute. Like, I'm not in business with you to make a whole shitload of money. I want to save myself, right? So, you know, having said all that crap, like, personally, I just think they got to pay me. I don't want to give the damn thing up until he pays me. Not asking you, you know, what should I do about this, but, you know, where the hell does the guy go? Small claims court. Yeah, that's what she said.
It's part of the claim that you even tried to settle this amicably.
Yep.
And it didn't work out. You had mentioned the guy said that he was going to, basically defame you?
For sure.
Okay,
yeah, the cops said, actually, they'll bring you over to arrest you. And I said, for what?
Yeah, said, there's another charge there, by the way. I want you to write down two words.
Yeah.
If you're taking notes right now, it's called public nuisance.
Public nuisance. No shit.
Public nuisance. Okay, and he also attempted to intimidate you by alluding to a crime having been committed simply because he wants to get out of a bill that he owes?
Yeah, no, and this guy's notorious for this. I found this out later.
Okay. Well, yeah, he threatened to defame you, okay? Defamation of character is huge. I don't want to pay your bill, so if you even try to collect against me, I'm going to defame you, is basically what he said, okay? That's a lawsuit in itself right there. There is intent. You better believe this is loaded with intent from this guy. You would win hands down, even in Queen's Bench to a much higher lawsuit.
Right.
But just go
to
small claims court and just say, look, I just want to get paid. There's been damages now. I want a little more than what I was owed because of interest and because this guy threatened me. He threatened to harm my reputation without cause. He called the police to try to have me arrested. That's a public nuisance, by the way, when no crime has been committed at all. And they just call the cops to try to to try to intimidate you. That's actually called public nuisance. It is a jailable offense, and it will actually remove your ability to even travel to another country. It's a very serious charge.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yes, look up public nuisance. That's not a good one.
I'm going to. Absolutely. That's nuts. Well, hey, you know what? I'm not going to pester you anymore, but I just thought, geez, you know, what do I need to do? Small claims, or I'm going to go, man. I'm going to go down and get the forms filed against this guy, and I'm going to note this for when I stand before the judge and say, no, like, this guy's done this and this and this, and I'm pissed.
Yep. Well, yeah, do it. Small claims court is a great one, by the way, especially for anybody that wants to get their toes wet, because it's usually only like a one-time hearing. It's not a series of dates. It's small claims. They just want to get it through quickly. They just want to look at your claim. I guarantee you that guy probably won't even show up. Or if he does, based on what he said in his meeting with you and the cop, it sounds like that guy would incriminate himself to the ends of the planet. You want that guy to show up. He sounds like a moron, and you'll get your order to pay.
Yeah, he's horrible. His brother-in-law is a very good, dear friend of mine for years and years, and he just disowned him. He said the guy's a prick.
Good. Well, remember, with an order to pay, you can go down to that guy's bank, and you can start seizing funds right out of bank accounts.
So order to pay, huh?
Yep, you're seeking an order to pay the following amount in small claims, and then you can take that order to pay to his bank, and you can actually start seizing funds, put liens on houses, do all sorts of fun stuff. Contractor lien, by the way, if you're a contractor, contractor liens are fantastic, but they have to be done within 30 days of the completion of the work.
Yeah, see, I'm screwed there, but that's okay. I'm just going to go small claims and get this guy done.
Go have some fun with it, man.
Well, the thing is, he's harmed me, and he's harmed the relationship I have with my wife. You know, I just want to strangle him. You know what I mean? Like, you jackass, what the hell do you think you're doing? And once I found out that his brother-in-law disowned him, I thought, okay, fair enough, I'm going to do something about this.
Yep. Oh, yeah, don't take it lying down, but I've been there. Believe me, I've not been paid more money than some people probably earn in a lifetime.
Yeah, no shit. I've had that happen too. Like, I just turned 60 last year. I'm an aviation tech. My responsibilities are high and a lot higher than taking bullshit from an asshole like this.
Yep, you don't need shit like that. Yep, hand him his ass and small claims, for sure.
Okay, buddy.
Well, good luck with that, Scott.
Thank you.
All right.
Take care, man.
Take care.
Bye.
Okay, our last question for the night. Caller, area code 403, ending in 5333. Your name, please. Caller, area code 403, I believe that would be Alberta. Ending in 5333. Going once. Going twice. If you're on mute, unmute yourself. Okay, I guess there is no question there. All right, Dean, I guess that's
it. Yay, no more questions.
No more questions. Woo. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening in. Don't forget to join the Global Fact group and the forum on DeanClifford.info. And if you are able and you are willing and you have the means, please don't hesitate to donate so we can keep the show on the air. You can do so by going to GlobalFact2012.com. There's a donate button there now. You can do it the easy way there. And if you don't have the means, that's perfectly okay. We are still welcome to come and listen and reap the benefits of the show. Thank you all for listening tonight. Dean, thank you very much. Del, thanks for stepping up and helping me out here. It sure makes my life easier. And we'll see you all next week. I'll post the topic for the next show around Wednesday or Thursday once I finish talking to Dean about it. Thank you all for listening, and we're going to close off with our theme song as usual. Good night, all.
Yep. I'll add there, Tony, quick, too, that I'll try to get that next hour of audio out right away. I know Alex and Martin were working on it, and I don't know if I know for sure it's going to be linked to the forum. Whether or not I choose to put it on my Facebook page this time is up for debate, because we want to get people there talking. So,
all right, fair enough. Don't hang up, Dean. Stay on the line. I'll talk to you in a bit.
Okay.
All right. Good night, everyone.
We all want But when you talk about destruction, don't you know that you can count me out? You know it's gonna be alright. 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 Got a real solution. Well, you know, we don't love to see the plan. You ask me for a contribution. Well, you know, we all do what we can. But if you want money for people with minds that hate, tell you is, brother, you have to wait. All right. All right. All right.
You're listening to Global Fact Radio.